Hey, what's poppin'? It is Tuesday show. Jeff Pilson from Foreigner, who's played in, he's played in a lot of bands.
I know. Even a small brush with Adler.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Not to be confused with Adler's Appetite.
Not Adler's Appetite.
I was bummed that it wasn't Adler's Appetite. Sounds much more ridiculous.
Well, the founding Adler is in it, though.
Well, did you read what Adler said about that band when he formed it?
Adler or Adler's Appetite?
Adler. How he wanted that band to make it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because they wanted to be a cohesive unit.
Oh, boy. What year was this? Like 2006 or around there?
I think it was more than that.
Oh, later?
Yeah.
How would his stupid band, the kicked-out drummer from Guns N' Roses, was on like one album?
I'm sorry. It was formed in 2011.
Adler!
Wait, after the dissolution of his previous band, Adler's Appetite. So the Adler's Appetite was first.
Adler's Appetite is morphing into Adler! It's a tighter group.
And somehow Jeff Pilson was convinced to come play bass for it.
Yeah.
Well, Foreigner must have been on hiatus, that's all I know.
Yeah, he's got a much better gig.
Yeah, he played in, he wrote some songs with Don Dokken.
Dokken!
In the Dokken days.
Rockin' with Dokken.
Dio! And Foreigner's here. Is that Saturday night?
The 15th?
The 15th. Oh, no, that's Sunday night. Sunday night.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, because Zach Brown's at Comerica Saturday.
Really?
The 14th, yes. And you know who is downtown on Friday night?
Who?
No.
Journey?
No.
Def Leppard? And the Pretenders.
We have so much corporate rock in this town on one weekend.
You're not kidding.
How is that possible?
Yeah,
I'd like to see you play a concert sometime.
That is one rocking weekend. Okay. So Jeff Pilson coming up in about 20 minutes. Meanwhile, it's me and Mark and Trudy and Joey and Kennedy. The intern is here in spite of that emotional show yesterday where she revealed that we are done, among other things.
I wonder if he's found himself yet.
I doubt it. Highly doubt it. But life goes on, and I brought a couple things down here, sort of show-and-tell things, but this is two cream chocolate donuts I brought down just to see how long they'd sit here.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I don't want it, but I want to see someone eat it.
It'll be me.
I think Trudy will eat one, and I think Mark will eat one, and I don't think it'll be long. That was just a little demonstration. I bought them this morning, and I was hungry, but then I ate my bacon, egg, and cheese, and I didn't feel like eating the donuts. So,
wow.
Anyway, then I also brought down for show and tell with the camera.
Your ball cap buddy?
My ball cap buddy, which should be in my favorite things.
It's over there. Oh, yeah, we will add it.
In my favorite things?
Yeah, because Amazon Prime Day is coming up in about a week. Yeah, the 16th.
And look how clean my hat is. It was in Ball Cap Buddy.
Wow.
Now, the amazing thing about Ball Cap Buddy is that it goes in the dishwasher.
Yeah, but it does a hell of a job. That hot water really, it went to town on my Cubs logo.
Does that mean your sebum has run through the glasses that we sometimes use here? Your sebum?
No, he washed the hats by themselves.
Sebum. Yeah, the sebum should be melted and disposed of wherever the
sanitized
the gross dishwasher water goes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not real big on sebum, by the way.
Huh? You're not?
Real big on sebum. No. I'm not a real secreter of sebum.
Ugh. Whatever you do, though, do not put your hat in the dishwasher without one of those.
Without a ball cap buddy?
No.
Oh, I would
totally
never do that.
Loose shape.
Never. No, thing is, look at my hat. Can you see it, everybody? I can't see it. Why can't I see it?
It's over here now.
But I can't see the picture, the face.
Oh, because I didn't put it up.
Oh, yeah, right there, Drew.
Sorry.
Look into the camera.
Oh, I see there. See, look at that ball cap buddy. You just put it in and
there you
snap
go.
It now in and bang.
That is a pretty cool invention.
It is. I mean, it's one of those little things. I mean, this guy should be a billionaire, shouldn't he? Well,
you would think.
I doubt he is.
Who's the inventor of ball cap?
Genius.
I don't know. I think... Where was this? In the back of Rolling Stone magazine or someplace? It was some stupid ad, like, write term papers.
Yeah.
I had one when I was a kid.
You got a ball cap buddy, too?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Huh. Well, you must have a ball cap buddy. They're really good. Anyway, one of my favorite things. And then the new James Taylor book. We should put this in my favorite things, if it isn't
that
already
sounds
in there.
Good.
new Chappaquiddick book. I haven't read it yet, but I'm thinking it belongs in there. And the
what a great cover.
Is that good? Yes.
Is that under halfway underwater, his face?
Along with his car, it's underwater, too.
Oh, it's the bridge. Oh, that's a beautiful cover.
Yeah,
the Pulitzer.
His eyes are just above the bridge, and his nose and mouth are below the bridge in the water, along with his car, which is at the bottom.
Well, let's see. I gotta see.
And Mary Jo's bubbles are coming up. Mary Jo's blowing her last bubbles.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Mary Jo was driving, and it's unfortunate. And then the Mick Fleetwood book.
I want to get in that thing and just drive it right away. Do you mind?
I was reading the Stevie Nicks book, and I haven't finished it. But the Mick Fleetwood book is really good. This is probably a few years old. But I think these are all good favorite things just right, for Amazon Day.
Nice.
And Ball Cap Buddy. And the donuts are still untouched for some reason. It's crazy. So, let's see. Oh, I know where I want to start today with the jumps last night.
Oh, wow.
What's that guy's name again? Travis?
Pastrami? Pastrami sandwich? Pristana?
Why have I never heard of this guy?
I don't know.
Oh, he's had a show, and one of Joey's big heroes.
What?
Travis Pastrana.
I don't even know who the hell you are.
I don't know who the hell he is. Who is he, Joe?
He's huge. He pretty much created the, you know, moto cross sport, you know? He's
X done Games.
Everything. He invented double backflip, 360.
I don't know who that is, but I think I get the point.
To just basically invite anybody that wants to come try to create tricks or do anything there. He backflips tricycles and stuff.
They had a show for the longest time. What was Nitro Circus on?
Yeah, MTV.
Yeah. Nitro Circus was so much fun to watch because
that
they were just.
Deirdrick?
Was it?
It wasn't?
Well, it was a series.
It was Rob. What's his face?
There were a bunch of different.
I don't know.
What's his name, Rob?
Deirdrick had Fantasy Factory.
Yeah, Fantasy Factory.
How could I possibly confuse those two wonderful
shows?
Well,
they both had shows.
So, wait, Travis was Nitro Circus?
Yeah.
God, I thought it was somebody else. Okay.
Well, there were a bunch
I've watched you on television.
X Game type stars on there, skateboarders.
Well, he got my attention because he's jumping Caesar's Palace, the fountain.
Yeah.
Which is what Evel Knievel tried to do, and wow, did he take a spill, the spill of all spills. And I have to say, after watching Jeff Pastrami, what's his name?
Travis Pastrana.
Travis Pastrana. After watching Travis.
Delicious sounding.
Evil's leap was much cooler.
Yeah. Well,
didn't Evil go further
higher,
up in the
way
air?
Way higher.
Yeah, the
way,
ramp
way
sent him up higher. Yeah,
Evil didn't care about math and any of that crap. He just wanted to jump.
Yeah, he was just ballparking it. And he had the ramp to make sure he could get over the thing, because did this guy even go over the water?
Yeah, he did.
Was
he went over
the
water
even phone. Going?
No, he landed
Was the water going lower than when Evil went? It seems like this guy just goes a million miles an hour, and then he's like 20 feet off the ground. It's like a line drive, and then he lands on a ramp. He's never...
They follow you. They chase us on the scooter.
But Evil is...
He has only 200 feet.
It just seems like Evil's way up in the air, and there's always a chance the bike will flip or go sideways or whatever. And
did Evil land it, though?
No, he didn't.
No, that's where he fell off like a rag doll.
But he did land, I think, 140 out of 151.
Did he?
He landed most of them. This guy will never wipe out just going a zillion miles an hour on this tiny little ramp.
Because this show was such a space out show, like when you were watching it,
it's like, Mark, it's like the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, my God.
There's 3 hours here's a rumble, this angle.
Oh, that's why all of those are. There's so much waiting.
It's horrible. Why are we repeating the Kentucky Derby horse racing
with motorcycles
concept with motorcycles and walks across the wire in the Grand Canyon and that stupid, who is that, Melendez?
Oh.
One of the Melendez brothers.
Nick Melenda. Eric and Lyle.
They fell.
Yeah, Lyle Menendez, I think, is his name. He murdered his parents. He got out and he walked across the Grand Canyon.
Is that the same bike that Evil used? Or is that like a more powerful
bike? I doubt very much.
I'm not sure. I think the difference was Evil's ramp was pointed higher.
Can we
watch Evil's jump? Seriously, it was driving me crazy because, like, that jump sucked. Even though he made it, it was totally boring. He was never in doubt. I could have done it. if he just told me the right speed to go, I could have done it. I mean, a monkey could do it.
16 hours ago, Travis Pastrana nails all three of Evil's jumps.
Sorry.
Is that the phone?
It's supposed to be on here.
The competitor that I faced.
Look at those glasses,
man.
And Evil was a maniac, too.
Whoa!
Oh.
That's the Astrodome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does Mike hit him? No, it doesn't. Because when he
beat you... We should call the Evel Knievel Museum to see if they want to comment.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. It is over. Evel was a redneck, too. I mean, shouldn't a redneck be doing these jumps?
Evel, a young unknown stuntman, is preparing to attempt.
I think there should be a redneck record and an anybody else record. Because the redneck record's going to be better.
Circumstances. In my case, I'm man enough.
Now he's ready.
Is that Caesar's?
Evel races down the ramp at 90 miles an hour, soaring over 90? The fountain.
90. Pastrami suddenly was going 77.
Let's watch again. He clears the water with ease.
He's got to be higher.
He lands dangerously short of his mark. Evel tries to brace himself as he slams
a little
into
short.
The asphalt.
I bounced like a rag doll, but I felt my pelvis crush. I felt my hips turn in their sockets. I could feel the pavement
crunching
against
my helmet. Travis has broken like one finger. Evel broke every bone in his body.
Daredevil's twisted and broken body finally
squeaks
to a stop. He's critically injured.
I was unconscious for 29 days after the jump. I almost lost my life.
Are you okay? You okay?
Crushed my pelvis.
Are you all right?
And broke my left hip and my
it's
right.
It's not even interesting. Nobody even falls anymore.
I know someone needs to fall every once in a while.
Exactly. It's like a roller coaster that never goes off the rails. I mean, thank God one did just recently, so people can go, oh my God, roller coasters are scary.
Look, everybody in the crowd has their phone up. That's cool.
Watch this jump. It's like Travis a line drive up the middle.
Will go!
He barely left the ground. I think Napoleon got more air on Pedro's bike.
And history has been made once again.
He actually 143
Travis
feet
Pastrana
versus Knievel's 120.
120? But Evel, look how much higher Evel went.
He left 52 cars as opposed to 50 by Evel Knievel. Although the cars were bigger back then.
Well, but this guy uses science. Evel just ballparked it.
That's pretty cool, I guess. Yeah.
Didn't Evel go higher, though? He must have gone higher.
I don't know.
You know what?
Nobody's keeping track of height? That's bullshit.
Was the fountain on?
No, the fountain didn't look like it was on.
Yeah,
I think it was on. I think it would have showed how much lower he went through the air.
Like anyone can even know that.
It was like five.
Now the fountain's on.
He was like 5 feet off the ground. Oh, they turned the fountain on afterwards.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't really count. The fountain actually did cause interference. That's probably why he wiped out too, Knievel, because his tire was wet.
Oh,
possibly
maybe.
When he hit the other side.
This guy was like a mile down the ramp.
Honestly, that looked like something you could do, Drew, with some practice.
Oh, I don't have any doubt.
Well, he jumped way over the fountain.
But look how he's barely over the ramp. I mean, from the end of the ramp, he goes up in the air like 3 feet. It's
and
like
fire.
It's like Napoleon at Pedro's. Except he went further. He was going faster.
If you look at,
you just give me the right speed, and I'll set the cruise control, and I could do that.
If you watch some of these those videos on YouTube, it's pretty cool, though.
The jumps?
Some of Travis Pastrana's stuff. Well, I hate to get a room with him, but...
What, you mean his jumps or...
Some of his other things that he's done. Pretty funny. Or astounding, not funny.
I was just kind of... Are we knocked off the air?
No. Don't worry about me.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
Well, let's talk about our friends at Zot M59, because Jeff Pilson is coming right up. Zot M59 Chrysler Jeep, celebrating summer with some of the lowest prices and largest inventories in Metro Detroit. You won't find too many people that wouldn't love to have a Jeep Wrangler, and with leases this low, almost everyone can afford one from DealsInTheD.com. Right now, during the summer clearance event, lease a new 18 Jeep Wrangler 4-door Sport at $249 a month. Plus, our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep have almost 300 new Wranglers available for you to choose from. You heard right, nearly 300 new Jeep Wranglers are available in White Lake. Or if you prefer to keep a few extra dollars in your pocket, go lease a new 18 Jeep Cherokee all-wheel drive for $179 a month. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And
hey, Jeff Pilson is from Lake Forest?
Yeah, I saw that.
Is that close to where you live?
It is, although it said he finished high school in Washington, didn't
he? Yeah, that's right, 76.
So he probably, I mean, I don't know how far he got. Where's my car?
What are you looking for?
My, there was some new stuff.
Oh.
From Greg. Yeah, the three new specials, of course. Where are they? Special number one, Fight Back, Regain Your Youthful Skin with the Power of Light. We all know that as we age, our skin begins to lose its youthful appearance, wrinkles, scars, sun damage, brown spots, all those gross things. Get the skin you deserve with Total FX, a fractional laser, a procedure that directs high-energy laser light into the uppermost layers of the skin. The laser smooths the fine lines, wrinkles. It does all the things you want. Collagen tightening, reduces wrinkles and fine lines, reduces acne scarring, softens deep lines. In fact, I think I mentioned it once that they are now pretty good at eliminating stretch marks, which was the bane of cosmetic surgery. Well, one of the banes. I mean, there's a lot of things they can't do. If you're too far gone.
Too many, though. I'm pretty amazed.
No, they are pretty amazing.
At the spectrum of...
But I thought that the...
Fixes.
That's always something, you know, and burn scars, which they can improve on. They can do great work with scars and even burns. Not perfect, but they can make you a whole lot better. So, I mean, it's a real positive for a lot of people. Wear your swimsuit with confidence. Get in shape with $250 off Body Tight, Face Tight, or Arm Tight Body Contouring. We've talked about that. Eliminates fatty deposits, recontours your body using RFAL, radio frequency assisted lipoplasty, a technology designed to address the shortcomings associated with traditional liposuction or surgical body lifts. And it really, God, they got pictures. Look at that lady's gut. See ya!
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, really tightened her up. Really? I mean, that was just a lot of skin, probably from, she probably lost 20 pounds or something, and then she just had some loose skin, and they tightened it up with Body Tight, and voila, she looks a lot better. Yeah. So call for a consult. Boobs, always boobs, lots of boobs.
Did you see the exciting boob news today?
Boob news?
Yeah, I'm looking for it. What country do you think has the largest breast size?
Brazil.
Let me think about it for a second. Call 248-338-1110. I don't know if they have the answer to that question, but they will give you a consult and also DROCH. If you want to see the great results of these lasers on the face, BBL, great treatment. I just had one. It really is good.
I'm going to have him, after seeing what he did with your eyelid, I'm going to have him work on my shin.
Oh, you have a growth on your shin?
No, I had that rollerblading accident.
Yeah. Oh.
And there's still, you know, residual scarring. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that.
Oh, yeah.
With
the lasers they have and the fillers and transfers. You know, he put filler in the scar on my face, and I swear he puts it in like maybe every 4 or 5 years, and I've never seen the scar.
Really?
Since, yeah.
Shake a leg, woman!
So there you go.
Cool.
Jeff Pilsen is coming up, and Eli's going to pop in, too, and try and blow our minds with, you make the call. Are we calling Jeff, or is he calling us?
We're calling him.
Oh, we are.
We have time. Yeah. We have a few minutes.
Yeah.
So do you want to know what country has the biggest boobs in the world?
Yes, I do.
You're not going to guess? Trudy says Brazil. Anybody else want to guess? Argentina, Brazil. What is that based on?
I'm trying to think of where, because a lot of people go to different countries for plastic surgery. So are we talking natural boobs?
It doesn't say.
Doesn't matter. Okay. It really doesn't matter. I'll guess U.S.
You got it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Red, white, and blue.
What is the average size here now, by the way?
Researchers measured the volume of breast tissue in 11,682 women ages 28 to 30 in 108 different countries. Wouldn't you love that gig?
Pretty cool. That's
study,
pretty cool.
Let's see. There's a considerable variation of breast size. Okay. Depending on the country of birth. For example, women born in the U.S. of A. have by far larger breasts than women in any other country, while women born in Africa and Asia, particularly Eastern Asia, have the smallest breasts.
The average
woman in America has a D cup.
What?
Holy crap.
Wow, that's going to send some people to Dr. Roche. I mean, you got to keep up.
Keep up with the Joneses, man.
Got to keep up.
Isn't that crazy? Like, look at the chart. That's the U.S. and A. Way off the chart there.
Is that because of our weight, though?
No. U.S. Caucasians.
Trudy, I think you may have a point there.
U.S. Caucasians by far and away than Canadians, than U.S. non-Caucasians. Ireland, Poland, U.K., Netherlands, Colombia. Iceland's got some bigger racks.
Why? Why Iceland?
I don't know.
Remember the Icelandic chicks you guys used to talk to?
Mackie and her girlfriend.
She have a big rack?
Her girlfriend did.
Hey. There you go.
They had crazy haircuts, though. They appeared to cut their own hair.
With a bowl?
No salons.
Pictures were a little surprising.
Oh, Italy, very low on the list.
Why? Why? Italy seems like they'd all have big boobs. Sophia Loren tubes.
Maybe they're skinny. You know, I was talking about this, and I can't remember if it was on the show or off the show. I maybe have to give myself a thanks for listening to the podcast. About seeing people in London, how I, after a few days, like, what's different about this? Something's really different.
So like you're from London.
And I realized that everyone's thin.
Yeah.
Everyone. Everyone's walking everywhere, and everyone's thin. And I mentioned it to a couple of people, and they're like, oh, well, you're used to all those slobs in America. I mean, you guys just accept obesity like it's no big deal. And I mean, there's so many obese people over there. You're so lazy. And, you know, we just, I don't know, for some reason, in France, too, I was in Paris. So, the same trip I took the channel over there. And people are really, they were pretty damn thin there.
Yeah.
All the guys had buzz cuts, too. Everyone's hair was extremely short.
Yeah, we have too much hair variation here.
I don't know. It seemed a little like a uniform to me. Like, oh, skinny buzz-cutted dudes, whatever. I mean, they're a dime a dozen.
Well, I have a theory about some of that, though. You know, I have to... Looking at the little cave kids and how skinny they are to begin with.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of... I mean, if you're trapped in a cave, you don't have time to lose.
No, you don't.
We're on better footing.
We've got five left to go, and Elon Musk, his contraption, I don't know if it'll ever get involved in this. Yeah. Well, he certainly inserted himself in the story.
He did. I think he's trying to help. He really is. Is Jeff on the phone?
Jeff is on the phone. I just want to mention quickly that SpaceX Stephanie is over there.
Oh,
she's working. Yeah, she's part of the project. Oh. I just made that up, but it sounds good.
I actually believed you.
That'd be cool. Jeff, are you there?
I am. And in fact, Elon Musk is with me. Do you guys want to talk with him?
Yeah,
we can just have a word with him. We're more interested in you, really. But yeah, Elon's pretty cool, isn't he?
Yeah, but he can't jam.
No, he can't.
Well, are you sure about that?
Well, I don't really know. You're right. I have no idea.
Yeah, see? And do you know, you don't have any clue whether I can maybe go to outer space or design a car either, do you?
Oh, I know you can.
Well, you know that I'm in outer space because I just said that.
Well, you need to write a space song, and maybe the next rocket they'll put that up there instead of Elton or instead of Bowie.
Cool.
There you go. Hey, hi guys, how you doing?
Doing great. And I just want to tell you, I watched like an hour of a Foreigner concert this morning just because I knew we were going to have you on. I knew you guys were coming to DTE on Sunday, and mm-hmm. I was just amazed at. I say I loved Lou Gramm. I thought he was a great singer, but Kelly Hansen does a fantastic job. I mean, how many times can you change lead vocals like that and pull it off? And he really, really does.
Well, it's probably a once in a million anomaly because, I mean, listen, let's face it. Lou was one of the greatest rock singers ever. And those performances are classic and those songs are amazing. And, you know, Lou is a treasure in rock history. But you're right. Kelly goes out there and nails it every night. He sings every note every night. He performs his butt off. He has a rapport with the crowd like no people I've ever seen. I personally think he's the best frontman in rock. And I don't even say that out of prejudice because I give him as much grief as I can. But the reality is he is great. And he's a big reason why we've been able to make all these leaps. And, you know, here we are headlining for 2 years in a row now, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I was blown away. And then also, it reminded me when I went online today that you guys were with Kid Rock when he played the 10 shows at DTE in 2015.
We sure were.
How crazy was that, playing 10 days in a row in Detroit?
Well, I mean,
10 shows in a row.
Detroit is the rock city. I mean, it always has been, at least in my career. And it's just... It is one of the greatest cities on the planet for rock and roll, and the fact that it still is so cool. And I think I don't know if it's something in the water, well, not in Flint, but anyways, or something somewhere. There's something somewhere out there that just makes that the rock city and always has been. So 10 nights there was as comfortable as, you know, the old suit you've been wearing for 25 years. Huh.
Well, yeah, it was quite a run, and that broke Bob Seger's record. And when I was thinking about that, I was like, wow, the reverence for Seger here, Ted Nugent too, and Kid Rock to play these consecutive nights like that. Who else does that? I mean, who else owns a town the way Kid Rock owns Detroit? Do you know, Jeff? Or there's got to be other people.
Well,
out there.
I know that Pink owns Australia in a similar way.
Well, Billy Joel in New York. Billy Joel in New York for sure.
Billy Joel in New York is a little bit like that. I gotta guess ZZ Top owns some part of Texas somewhere.
Yeah.
But those are guesses. You know what? Listen, Kid Rock's amazing. He is just so damn much fun to watch. Hmm. And he's so great at what he does. And he is so consummate Detroit. I love it when people in a city and a performer have that synchronicity and that synergy like that. It's one of the coolest things you could ever see. I mean, it kind of reminds me of how it must have felt in San Francisco in the 60s when you had the Grateful Dead and the Jefferson Airplane and all that stuff. So connected to their cities. And so, you know what? Those are little pieces of rock history that, you know, we all have to appreciate because, you know, they may not be that way forever.
You accumulated a lot of rock history, though, in your tours with Dokken and Dio.
Dio! Yeah,
Dokken. By the way, Dokken had a real love affair with Detroit too, man. That was always our best city, always.
Do you remember where you played in the '80s with Dokken in Detroit? What venues offhand?
Oh, sure. I mean, we did. We did Joe Louis at one point.
Yeah.
We did. What's the other one down the street from there?
Kobo.
Kobo. Yeah, we did Kobo. Joe Louis. The Ritz, wasn't that the name of it?
Oh, yeah, the Ritz in Roseville. Sure.
Yeah, the Ritz. And we did, I know we did Harpo's in the very, very early days.
Of course.
What was the one?
The Fillmore, maybe? Or not the Fillmore, the State Theater?
Yep. I remember doing the State Theater. I don't remember doing it with Doc, and I do remember doing it with Dio.
Dio!
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think I've played almost all the venues you can play in Detroit. Again, it's the rock city, man.
Yeah,
it is. You know, with being a foreigner now and coming from where you came from, and you've got all these guys who've come from different places, you guys make fun of each other's previous incarnations?
Well, how could you not look at a picture of Dokken from the 80s and not make fun of him?
That's a lot of hair.
Of course we do that. Obviously, you've never been in a rock band.
No, I haven't.
Or you would not have asked that question.
Well, I think usually when you get 10 guys together, I mean, they're going to rag on each other if they spend any amount of time. I assume rock bands are pretty expert at it by the time you guys have been on the road as long as you have.
Well, Harris,
there
is huge.
Nobody more salty and smart-ass than a rock musician. me especially.
Hair is a huge part of it, and you've had quite a few styles. Were you frizzed out in the Dokken days?
Well, I did go through my one time of trying a perm, which I absolutely hated. I mean, I could not wait for that thing to grow out. The line of crap that I was given of how great it was going to be just turned out to be nothing but a nightmare. I did all this. What I was really good at was the old, the towel tone. And in fact, I would like to give some credit where credit is due. My girlfriend in the early Dokken days was she was the one that turned me on to the whole idea of doing a towel and taking a towel and using the static to get your hair to stand up. and she doesn't get the credit for it, but she's the one that showed that to Motley Crue. Huh. So if you're talking about the origin of the 80s hairstyle, my girlfriend Tina from the 80s should get credit for that.
Huh. Where is Tina now?
I have no idea.
She made her way around the bands a little bit, though, in the 80s, huh? And did some good work.
I did.
Yeah,
I did, man. I was very fortunate. I got to work with a lot of great people.
Oh, yeah. You got War and Peace, Lynch Pilsen, Tooth and Nail, Foreigner, Dokken, Dio. My God. And I'm not even naming them all. There were more. You had a Jimi Hendrix-oriented band, didn't you, when you started out?
That's right. And then Michael Schenker, played with him, and I've been very, very, very fortunate. I've worked with some amazing musicians and producers and engineers, and and now I'm in Foreigner playing, with Mick Jones, who is, such a legend. I mean, he's in the Songwriter Hall of Fame. I mean, I've gotten some really good mentors and teachers, and I'm a lucky guy.
The opening act on this tour, is it Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin tribute band thing?
Led Zeppelin Evening is what it's called.
Because I know they made him change the name. Do you get to
Whitesnake's been on some shows,
Whitesnake
too.
Yeah. Do you get to
Whitesnake is on, yeah. That's the whole bill. Is Jason opens the show with 45 minutes of an amazing Led Zeppelin set. I mean, like, really amazing. And then, I mean, they sound so good. Their singer, James, sounds so much like Robert Plant. It's just unbelievable. But he delivers it with soul and passion. And the band is amazing. And then Whitesnake come out and just kill. I mean, an hour of Whitesnake, you get, it's nothing but great songs. And they just, they kill it every night.
Do you get to spend a lot
and
of...
And then we go out there and we do our thing. And you know, we brought out all the bells and whistles this time. So we're kind of pulling out all the stops and having a lot of fun doing it.
When you're around Jason, does he get peppered with Led Zeppelin questions all the time? Is he exhausted by answering?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, he's very up to talking about it. I mean,
oh, okay.
I mean,
made a living off.
I've learned a lot about Led Zeppelin. Just plus, you got to remember that our manager Phil Carson was the guy that dealt with Led Zeppelin in the early days at Atlantic Records. So, I mean, the amount of Led Zeppelin stories I've heard, I could write a book on Led Zeppelin.
Wow. Now, there's got to be a drum solo in there somewhere, too.
Well, of course. I mean, actually, Jason doesn't do a full-on drum solo during the Bonham set because, you know, probably because it's not a headlining set, and
okay.
So they kind of keep it to the song. Mm. But Tommy Aldridge does an amazing drum solo during the Whitesnake set. And our drummer, Chris Frazier, it's not just a drum solo, but it's a featured part along with Michael Bluestein, our keyboard player. And it's kind of an atmospheric solo, but it's really cool.
Now,
and I won't spoil what happens, but there's a lot of cool stuff that happens right around that solo.
Out of those three...
I'm just saying.
Okay, we'll take your word for it.
Out of those three drum solos, which is the longest? And then let's just throw Steven Adler from Adler in there. Did he just go off on major drum solos too?
Can Steven? Well, of course he can.
Yeah.
Steven, and in fact, Steven just gets better all the time. You know, he's my best friend. So I'm going to brag about him a little bit.
Okay.
But he's been sober for 5 years now.
Oh,
and
great.
His playing is like better than it's ever been. And, you know, he's even done things like, he listens to jazz records now and can play along. He still sounds like Steven. Like, the shows that he did with Guns N' Roses last year, when he goes up there, all of a sudden they sound like Guns N' Roses. He's still got that wild, just reckless abandon style that really does something to that band. But he's learned so much about different kinds of drumming now. He's an amazing drummer, very underrated for his great for what he's able to do, especially what he does to a great song. He can take a song to a level of excitement like no one else on the planet, and I'm so proud of him for that.
You know, I'm dying to ask you because I read Steven's book. Were you best friends with him going back before Adler, way back?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
No. I mean, we're friends. I've known him for almost 30 years. But, I mean, you know, we basically, Dokken's road crew, when Dokken got done with our last tour in 1988 before we broke up, our road crew went straight to Guns N' Roses to start working. And it was right before Sweet Child of Mine turned into a big hit.
Wow.
So I've had contact with those guys since they were just starting out.
Huh.
And I was pretty close to Steven around 30 years ago for a while. But then when he went through his severe phase, we lost touch. But we rekindled about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And, we're best friends.
His mom seems to be keeping him in line and wrote a book about it, too. Did you, you're probably part of all that since you're friends.
Well, I certainly know his mom and you know, talk with her a lot.
She's an angel. She's absolutely an angel.
Well, you know what? She's a wonderful woman, and she has, you know, she's been an important part of Steven's life. I mean, but I got to say, to be honest with you, it was Steven that made the turnaround. He's the one who finally got the, and I don't want to call it willpower. I just want to call it he just had the desire. He was sick of living his life the way he was living it. And he made the change. He went to the effort. You know, I mean, it took a couple of tries at rehab and all that kind of thing, but he's the one that did it. And I don't want to take away from his mom or any of his family. And I mean, his wife has been very critical in that too. She's an amazing woman. She's one of my dearest friends, and she's a saint.
I got to tell you, I was exhausted reading his book. It was exhausting. It was like, oh my God, he's going to die. I know he's alive, but I'm reading this, and I can't believe he's not going to die before this book is over.
Well, and he knows that, you know, and he doesn't ever want to be in that position again. He loves life now, and he's really learned to love life. So he's a different guy, and I'm just really proud of him for that. But I without taking away from anybody else, it's important to note that he's the one that made the change. And that's what has to happen with somebody like that. Yeah. They have to realize that their life needs a change. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can keep you in line. You have to do it yourself. And he did.
I wanted to mention that I was watching the concert, as I said earlier, and Cold as Ice, in that show, you guys were doing an acoustic, and you had a little bass solo in there, but it was really cool with the saxophone. I had no idea you were doing Cold as Ice that way. I thought it was really cool.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm actually very proud of that arrangement, not just because of the bass solo. That's a lot of fun. Actually, if you want to know something, Mick was the one that said, hey, why don't you take a bass solo? I would never have brought that up. Mick suggested it, and I'm very glad he did, because it's
very
a lot
cool.
of fun.
It's but, really cool.
But, yeah, that arrangement is pretty damn cool. And, you know, we struggled with that at first because it's such a piano-y song, you know, in its classic arrangement, that, you know, how to interpret it in a way that does it justice, but without a piano, what do? And I think we came up with a great way. So I'm very happy.
Is that it,
Mark? Thank you for that. I'm glad you noticed.
Are we playing it? Yeah, sure did.
It's an unplugged version.
Oh, that's from the CD.
Yeah.
But anything's better with the bass jam.
Is it similar?
Yeah, it's similar, I think. Jeff, is it?
It's a little bit similar, but we took it a lot further in live performance after we did that record.
You were in Rockstar, and you guys could have made a pretty good band out of the people in Rockstar with Brian Vander Ark.
Was in a good band. We recorded all the music together. We were a band, theoretically, for several months.
You and Jason and Zach, right?
Yeah, and that was a great band.
Did Brian Vander Ark perform with you guys? Because he was in Blood Pollution in the movie. I know that was silly. I'm splitting hairs here, but
right. No, he didn't perform with us, but he was part of when they recorded the tribute band doing the stuff as opposed to our versions. He was recording it. Sure.
Oh, okay. That must have been fun working with those guys, fooling around on a movie set.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg.
Awesome. Yeah, that too.
Mark Wahlberg was great. Jennifer Aniston was a sweetheart. Just a really nice person. Dominic West, brilliant actor. Watching him was a joy. And just the whole thing, it was a pretty damn powerful experience, I got to say.
And a great story about Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's loosely based on that. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. And I mean, just the idea. I mean, you know, it's funny. And in this day and age, you see more and more things kind of like that happening. And I think that's great. I love that.
Who did Mark's vocals when he was doing that crazy?
Mike Machivik, the guy that was in the band Steelheart.
Okay. Yeah, there was a lot of musicians in that movie, and it just, especially the band battle stuff, was really funny to watch. We talked to Brian about it a while ago, too. He's a great guy and a Michigander.
Yeah, he's Saginaw, right?
Actually, East...
No, Ann Arbor.
Grand Rapids?
East Lansing, Grand Rapids area. Well, maybe he's from... Oh. They might know they are from Lansing, I think, originally. I think you're right.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right.
But he's basically...
What a great guy. Love that guy. Just... And so talented. I mean, really, really a talented dude and a great human being. And yeah, he was a joy. Yeah. And you know, he played me in the movie. You know, we were counterparts because he was bass player of the tribute band, and I was the bass player in the actual band with quotes around it. So yeah, we had a kick out of working together on that, especially because he's like, you know, 3 feet taller than I am.
Yeah, he's got it all. I mean, that guy's lacking for nothing. I know it's probably a little out of school to ask about, but does Mick talk to Lou Gramm, or is Lou Gramm?
That's not out of school to talk about. No, as a matter of fact, we're doing a show with Lou Gramm at Sturgis.
Whoa.
In South Dakota, the motorcycle rally on August 4th. Wow. Right when this tour wraps up, the first thing we do is we go to Sturgis, and it's going to actually be us and the original band all playing. We did a couple shows like this last year, which we recorded and filmed, and that's probably going to be released sometime early next year. But we've done it, and we know it works, and we love all the guys, and it's great. And, you know, I got to work with Lou quite a bit because, you know, I produce the live records for the band. So I, I went to New York and worked with him on all that. And it was really, he is such a gentleman, such a great guy. And, you know, one of my favorite voices of all time. So real joy. And yeah, so August 4th, we're going to be doing the show at Sturgis, which is going to be really cool.
Wow. I wasn't sure where his health was at. I knew he had health issues and, you know, he had some problems.
He's come through them. You know, for the most part, and he's, you know, I don't think he wants to tour like we tour, but he's still great, and he is a wonderful human being. He just had a newborn last year, so.
Oh, he did?
I mean, touring might be out of the question for him anyways.
Wow.
But he is a top-notch human being, and yes, he and Mick talk, and it's all good.
Good to hear. Foreigner Sunday night at DTE Music Energy Theater, and that's with Whitesnake and Jason Bonham. And Jeff, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for the time.
Well, my pleasure too, guys. I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's do it again.
We will.
Okay, thanks so much.
Have a good show.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
talk soon,
night.
And hopefully I'll see you at the show, okay?
You got it.
All right, we'll be there.
Rock on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. That Sturgis thing? Oh,
yeah.
My God. It's Foreigner, Kid Rock is going to be there. Lit, Marshall Tucker.
Whoa.
Aaron Lewis, who used to be in Stain.
Yeah, yes, Stain.
He's now a country
Absolutely.
Guy.
What happened to Stain?
I think they dissolved and...
Ooh, there's that bass. Oh, no, it's one of those.
What are you talking about?
What? Who is this? Can we thumbs down this guy immediately, please? Foreigner Double Vision bass cover.
I'm really proud of myself for singing them up.
I was faked out. I thought somehow Jeff's bass was cranked up. And
no, I was just looking at different videos, and this guy does a ton of bass covers.
He has a headless bass.
And he does
bass.
A ton of Foreigner bass covers. I was going to warn Jeff about him. He's gone for his gig. Look at this dude. I don't know if he has much stage presence.
He has no rocker quotient.
He's got a big old double chin, but he's playing his bass.
Here to hear anything else? Let's see. Oh, there he's doing stuff. Okay, let's see. Oh, you want to hear him do Paul McCartney?
Oh, why not? Oh, Jesus.
What song is that? My Brave Face?
My brave. It's one of his songs with Elvis Costello.
Absolutely. I've been living
in style. How silly. How many views does he have? My Brave Face. Why
that
would
one
he
had
pick
about
that?
A thousand.
I mean, honestly, you would think he would pick, Dear Prudence or one of his big bass songs, Don't Let Me Down, Come Together.
Looking for another good bass cover.
Live and Let Die, Band on the Run, but no, My Brave Face.
Is it?
He did a Q&A with his 50,000 subscribers.
Can we still call David Trump? Not to go off track, but
oh my God,
it's not 5 o'clock
it's
yet?
It's only 8 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Let me do the break real fast. I want to come back to this bass guy. I would like to see his Q&A. I think that might be comical.
He's taking a drink before he starts rocking out.
What song is this?
Mr. Blue Sky.
Oh, is this Mr. Blue Sky? It doesn't look like a real interesting bass song, does it?
He really just
No, I could play that.
Sits there.
But look at all the guitars hanging on the wall.
Does he play lead too?
He doesn't move!
No flea.
This guy rules.
Yeah, it looks almost like he's frozen in place.
I'm going to pause this.
Except for his fingers. There's no better gift than eyesight to see small print as well as everything beyond with crisp detail. You could see all those bass notes from where I'm sitting if you had gone to Dr. Yaldo.
And how he doesn't move a muscle while he's playing them.
Really doesn't. This week alone, 40 to 50 Detroiters will have Dr. Yaldo, Michigan's premier eye surgeon, provide them with 20/20 vision or better. Their lives will be free of glasses, contacts, reading glasses. You don't need to settle for the old technologies, glasses that get scratched, the contacts you can't find, or you can't get in your eyes, which is my problem. It's why Dr. Yaldo's team with WDIV for the See Michigan More Clearly contest on Click on Detroit. Check it out. Sign up for free LASIK and a trip to the Arcadia Bluffs. At the same time, call Dr. Yaldo and get a free evaluation. Maybe it's custom LASIK, maybe monovision if you have reading issues, or if you're around 50 or so, he may suggest the Rolls-Royce treatment, multifocal lens implants. We don't recommend anyone but the best. It's what we stand for with all our sponsors and listeners. You'll always get the exclusive Drew and Mike discount by calling 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And should we go?
Hello, Fieri.
Sorry, I hit the by accident.
Should try Dave?
You want to?
Yeah. We've got to separate these sponsors anyway. Actually, you know what? I could do this. Whether you have $11 trillion or $3 and something in change saved up, it's important to have a plan in place when saving for retirement. Some people may believe it's never been worse, but the truth is there's never been a bad time to reanalyze your current plan to achieve the retirement that you want. Call Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748 for no obligation review of your financial strategy. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Signatory Investors Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor at 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 48034, 248-663-4700. Luke Nowacki and Pinnacle Wealth Management would love to help you if you are struggling or lacking a plan. If you're struggling or looking to re-up your plan or just tweak it, talk to Luke. There you go. And, there's a lot going on now. Brandon has just entered the fray. Big Brandon news yesterday. If you didn't hear it, as soon as we find out if we reach David Trump, we will spill it again.
Some controversy, too, because I forgot to power up the hotline.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello?
Good afternoon. David Trump speaking.
Hi, David. I was just calling about the Vince Lombardi rest area.
Okay.
Which exits is that between?
Okay. The Vince Lombardi service area is physically located between the George Washington Bridge and exit 18.
Okay. Now, there was an incident there. My son went into the men's room, and there was some untoward activity going on. Do you know if things have gotten – is it safe to go there?
When did this incident occur?
It was many years ago, but just thought I'd ask. We were planning to go there, spend some time there.
Yeah.
Rent something from the crowbar stand.
Yeah. How old was your son?
He's about 15.
Okay.
I'm curious.
He grew up really quick.
They all do.
Yeah, they do. Now, I read that the family took away some of the artifacts, signature. Yeah. I forget what that stuff's called.
Memorabilia from the Vince Lombardi. Yeah.
There's still some there?
No. Those items were given back to the Lombardi family shortly after the Vince Lombardi was open to public. So
who owns that stuff?
Who owns that? What the sports?
The memorabilia. Bilia. Yeah.
The Vince Lombardi family does.
Oh. That's
kind of rude. They give it to you and then take it back. I forget what that's called.
Native American giving.
It was on loan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a better way of saying it. It was on loan.
Okay, now, did you say your name's David Trump, like the president?
Yeah.
Are you related? Oh, 2 P's, so you're not related.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Oh, do you get that a lot?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Have you ever been to Atlantic City and then thrown that name around?
No, you know what? Is there anything that can help you with involving the turnpike or?
Oh, no, I just got intrigued because your name was Trump, and, I just couldn't help. Just was curious about that. But, yeah, I was interested, of course, in what was going on with the Vince Lombardi rest area because there was.
Is there food there?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's.
And the speed limit on the turnpike, is it 55?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mm. Do they run radar a lot, or is that, wink, wink?
You know what? I think your question, I can't answer your questions regarding the law, whatever the state police does.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you being candid with us.
I couldn't honestly tell you.
Okay. Thank you very much for the information you were able to give us.
Okay.
Okay. Have a great day, Mr. Trump.
Oh, my God. That hang-up took forever.
Oh, are you shocked?
Oh, boy. Memorabilia is going backwards.
I know, I felt bad.
I wondered if maybe he was going to
too
get,
easy.
If he was going to get, he was going to nail it or get close, and unfortunately,
memorabilia.
He was killing it back then.
I mean, he could have just said artifacts. I gave him that softball.
Well, boy, he gets
really pissy. Doesn't
he has his limits.
I'm intrigued by his personal life because he will not go down that road at all. Other than kids grew up really fast.
Well,
he laughed.
He did.
And he was I think he was getting comfortable until the questions overlapped and he realized there were two people. Because I wasn't sure with two male voices he could distinguish. And then I think he smelled a rat.
I think President Trump was probably the turning point, if I had to point to something.
Man. Deal breaker.
That was awesome. Well, at least we're off the blacklist.
Yeah.
So now it's just fight song turning Monkey Mobile Mel.
I just wonder how long David Trump's going to be answering the phone. I bet if we call back tomorrow, I bet we get voicemail.
You think so?
I don't know. We could
take
try.
Care. Have a good day.
We could try and just do a quick Melrose hang.
Do you have any more questions on the turnpike?
Maybe we can eventually have.
That's his go-to.
Maybe we can have enough drops where he can talk to himself.
Oh, play drops to him.
You think we could do it to where he would talk to himself?
Possibly.
All right, since I forgot to do this. Oh, that's the wrong one. God damn it.
Whole Financial Hotline is officially open. Somehow, through the amazing technology of David All Financial, we were able to get a line with Jeff Pilson from Foreigner and David Trump. But
that's
the line
just how
is,
good they are.
It's officially open now. And
we're not on Facebook Live anymore. Remember when the TV went out over here?
Yeah.
The reason it went out is because I started looking for a phone number, realizing that the camera is trained right on the TV. So I was like, no.
Oh.
But there's nothing anybody would have seen, so don't go back and look for it.
Are you sure they didn't get the P quality number?
That's the only number that would have showed up, honestly.
Might be some demand for that.
Alrighty.
Never know.
I just thought that was funny.
Is Brandon's processional going to...
Oh,
aired or?
Yeah, does Brandon have music?
Yeah, big day.
He deserves music. Yeah. Big announcement.
Probably.
The wife of Brandon McAfee, the lovely Kristen, is with child. It's official.
I thought the announcement was my backsplash. It's complete.
Whoa, really? That seemed like a labor of love.
What do you think was more work, the backsplash or, forget it.
Or taking pictures of it.
Hey, I sent you two pictures in like a 8-hour day, and you guys piled on me.
Well, it was funny, though, because you said that was your reason that you couldn't make it to the podcast yesterday, because you were doing backsplash.
I couldn't leave my father-in-law like to do it
looked
himself.
Looked like your father-in-law was doing a very good job.
Yeah, he helped me a lot.
And it,
by himself.
And a couple of super understanding young men said, if you'd stop taking pictures, you could probably get done with the backsplash.
I'm just trying to show you guys the progress.
I know. He did a great job. He was progressing very nicely.
He was working his ass off.
That was a lot of work.
even with all the cameras. It's like being on a reality show.
Tile cutting's tough, but when it's glass, man.
Yeah, I don't know how he did it.
It looked like we were in a knife fight because all these little shards of glass kept getting everywhere, and so we were bleeding all day long, all over the place.
There were a super sensitive response to that as well. Very sympathetic. Should we call an ambulance?
Yeah, you guys
are asshole. Who says that?
But yes, you're correct. I am expecting my first child in November.
Aww.
And this child will be a
female.
Female.
A little girl. Aww.
Another little girl.
Sweet.
Yes.
Bill looked thrilled in the picture of you guys' ankle.
Bill's picture was a big hit. We had a picture of Bill with the baby
photo.
That's
what that was.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sonogram and their ankles.
It was definitely a pretty big hit. It was probably the biggest on social media I've ever had. Biggest day ever.
Yeah. Bill actually looked like he was excited. He really does
act. Did you tweet that out too?
It was Twitter.
What is your picture. Twitter, Brandon?
I don't know.
You don't need
to producer.
You can't say what your Twitter
is? It is, but I don't know how to spell it. I never thought that I'd have to give it out.
P-R-O underscore D. Is it
UECER? Yeah.
Oh my God, that is the worst Twitter handle possibly ever.
I think it's the best.
You know what you guys need to do is anyone winning on HQ Trivia anymore? Are you guys still playing?
Well, yeah, I don't have time.
I don't have as any lives or anything. Mark over here has like 400 lives.
I know, Mark
and so
has
he always,
plenty.
Well, you know.
I have zero, and so I watch him always go out on like the.
Why don't you give out your code so we can get some new people in HQ Trivia?
His code is worse than my Twitter handle.
It's worse than the Twitter handle.
Are
my
you
code
serious?
It's BBBYMCNTTS. I don't know. It's stupid. I don't even deserve any extra lives. Don't give them to me.
Give them to him.
Wow.
Well, give Brandon some extra lives because you had like 10 and you were playing and you were coming real close. And
then
all of a sudden you ran out of lives.
Yeah, when I had the extra lives, I was winning.
Oh, did you? You did win
twice.
Oh, cool. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What's your count up to, Mark? What are your winnings?
My total money winnings or number of times?
Total money winnings.
$184.
Which doesn't sound like that much, but you've won how many times?
Four times.
Four times?
Only twice I needed extra lives. I was very proud of that.
Whoa.
Spread out.
Well, you guys have both gotten to question 10, 11, 12 a bunch of times, too.
Yeah, the first time
the extra life is huge.
Huge. Massive.
Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah, because you always go out on something stupid that you shouldn't have went
Are you playing HQ Trivia, Trudy?
I played just the other night after taking a very long hiatus from the game.
Any luck?
What's your code?
Do you have a code?
I don't have a code. I don't have a code.
Everybody has a code. What's your handle?
Yeah, you have a code.
Oh, I probably have a code.
She has
Joey,
a code.
Joey wants those extra lives.
Zoom has
it.
A code, too.
Kennedy, a hand out of nowhere.
Yeah, just write down Joey's code and your code. And
Kennedy's.
Oh, Kennedy's playing HQ Tribute, too?
What's your code? Oh, boy.
Nobody knows.
Sorry,
nobody knows.
I know mine. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to suck anymore.
Yeah, you don't deserve anymore.
Drew and Mike Show on Instagram. Of course, Drew and Mike Show on Facebook. Like us. Rate us. Rate us on iTunes. What else? Trudy, what's your Twitter handle? Trudy Dan?
At Trudy Dan. Yeah.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
I see. Okay.
Producer.
Share my code? Yeah. It's just Trudy Dan. Okay. It's just Trudy Dan is my code.
That's your code?
Yeah.
You can get a code like that for
if you sign up early.
Really?
Well, mine's Mark Fell. I mean, if anybody wants to give me free.
Yeah, there.
That's a great name.
Yeah, Mark's down to 70.
It's more than that.
Is it more than that? Yeah, I remember when it was 130-something.
Dick.
Wait a sec. That happened really organically.
It did happen. No, very organically. And there's been a few times I felt we should call Rogo over stuff that happened in the game, too. We should probably get Rogo back.
I'm still mad about the Tulane Green Wave.
Does anybody else want to brag about winning, by the way? Please drop an email, Drew at Drew and Mike Podcast, or mail at Drew and Mike Podcast, and let us know if you've won. I wonder if anybody's won. Because there have been times where the pot's been, people have won a couple hundred bucks or more.
A couple grand.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that have won $25,000.
Really?
Yeah, there's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's five people who've won 25 grand.
They'll do an event where it's winner take all. Yeah, so let's keep asking questions.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
10 others who've won 20 grand. And then a lot from there.
Is there any way to game it? With the codes, right? Or the extra lives?
Yeah, the extra lives. I mean, the mulligan is so big.
You can get extra lives too if you keep playing. Like if you play X amount of days
five
in a row.
In a row.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see.
I feel really dumb though, Brandon. You sent that picture yesterday. I didn't know what it was.
Oh, the picture with Bill?
Yes. There were two sets of legs in Bill. I'm like, oh, is this for? Okay.
And they're
I didn't see the I see
starring
it now.
Their daughter as well.
I see it now, but I didn't know. I don't know why. I just wasn't in the right mind frame. I didn't know what it was.
God, and this dog is handsome.
The child is due in November.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, November.
So a little Scorpio.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, October 31st is. I know that. I think.
Oh,
I think,
that's right.
I think up to November
right
9th.
You.
Wait, is it? No, October 22 to November 21 or something like that. I think Scorpio's got a.
Remember they changed the dates of that?
No, that was bullshit. Everybody's used to one. The whole world's used to one thing.
Mine didn't change. I'm still Leo. But
what are the characteristics of Leo?
We have leadership qualities, characteristics. We're independent.
Independent?
That's a real thing.
You know, as dumb as horoscopes are, for some reason, I'll read them if they're in front of me.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Why? And I'll go, I don't think it's accurate today. Or, oh, wow, this thing's right on. I mean, it's stupid.
I thought only chicks read their horoscopes.
Pseudoscience.
You read it in
like
the paper,
said,
though.
If it's in front of me, I will not go looking for it.
We're warm.
Who gives a fuck?
Action-oriented and driven by the desire to be loved and admired.
Aww. Action-oriented.
Yes.
I like that. Is any one of them just outright shitty?
No.
No.
Shouldn't there be one shitty sign?
Yeah, Taurus.
Gemini
Gemini, that's right. Well, Tauruses are bullish, supposedly. Well,
oh, yeah, that's
true.
And then Gemini, who have split personalities.
Really?
Supposedly.
Oh, because they're twins.
Yeah.
What
I think
month
being
is
a
that?
Cancer kind of sucks. You don't really want to think about that.
I know. That is a drag.
It's pronounced cancer.
Scorpio has some kind of a couple negative things in there.
What about a Sagittarius, a half man, half
what is the
goat?
Theory and the science behind that?
Ugh.
Bummer. Well, there's all kinds of science behind it. Don't be silly. Hey, former Detroit Lion, Brian Pettigrew arrested.
I paused that because I don't know. This story's news to me.
Two counts of aggravated assault.
Skills!
After police say he punched an officer in the chest.
33-year-old Brandon Pettigrew, who is currently a free agent tight end, was charged with two counts of aggravated assault, among other charges as well. Police
That's
say he refused to pay a $97 limousine fare for a ride in Pittsburgh. This was right around 3 in the morning. The driver then called police, and soon after, officers confronted Pettigrew. Police say he then punched an officer three times in the chest.
I'm sure there's more to the story.
Yeah, we have
the officer
audio.
Did something terrible.
Oh, is there audio?
Yeah.
Hey, kiss my ass, bitch. I'm paying you shit.
$97.
Wow, that was him, too. I recognize his voice.
He's got Zac Efron's dreadlocks, too, by the way.
Cultural appropriation?
You know what? I've seen a lot of white dudes with dreadlocks.
A lot of stoners.
Did you report them?
No, I didn't. I didn't know to at the time.
I was so stunned when I read that. I reported this picture immediately. who?
What is the Hall Monitor Society that we're
in? This is the year of the narc.
It is.
Calling on everybody.
It's making me crazy. Honestly, it's crazy. Twitter is the worst place to be. I think if you're off Twitter, maybe life's it's just sort of snitchy. But but if you're on Twitter, it's snitch city. It's what happened to no snitching? I want no snitching to come back. And I hated no snitching.
I know.
Can't we tell on the right people and not... people that are just trying to live their lives and get haircuts and have a hairstyle.
Mow lawns.
Yes.
I think those people called the police on that kid again.
Oh, the black kid mowing the lawn?
Yeah.
Really?
What?
In Maple Heights? Yeah.
They did?
They're an older couple. And
oh, what assholes. That kid's made like $40,000 from a GoFundMe.
Yeah, the kid's getting rich. The kid that was selling the water, she's going to Disneyland. So all these people who are telling on these
people,
they're
being rewarded.
Yeah, you should almost have people tell on you because they'll start a GoFundMe for you. By the way, I was a little annoyed with.
Yeah, I'm gonna have Charlotte set up a lemonade stand. We go tell on her, and then maybe.
Yeah, I will.
We'll do something.
Brandon and I were talking about this after the show yesterday. I think it's a leap to say that someone is a racist because they called on someone who mowed part of their lawn.
Yeah.
Because you don't know that.
Well, aren't those people black anyway that called the cops on them, I thought?
No. One of them were.
Oh, one
but
of
not
them.
The permit Patty. Oh. The kid was black and the lady was white.
Barbecue Becky.
Barbecue Becky.
There's a lot of pool incidents.
Pool Patrol
too,
Paul.
Pool Patrol.
Yeah, Pool Patrol Paul was
there's
a major
another pool.
Well, there's another pool.
Yeah, where a girl called the cops on a black guy because he was wearing socks. And they're not. It's not proper pool attire.
What?
Was there a list of the rules?
No, that's all I saw the story.
That said no
don't
socks?
Care.
Well, how would you ever make a list of things? With no,
well, they do at pools.
Socks.
They have incredible lists at pools.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, remember the
Bentley?
Yeah, what was that one? That
can't have diarrhea.
Yeah, no diarrhea.
I think all those people are assholes. But to say they're racist and that they called because the people were black, you don't know that. You're getting in their head, and I feel like they report it as if these people call the police on black people because they're black.
It didn't
no,
like these
there's a lot of busybodies, and there's busybodies, by the way, who call the police on white people for doing stupid shit too. I mean, not for doing stupid shit, but for stuff that you shouldn't call the police. There's people that call the police for rides. There's people that call the police to order pizzas. I mean, there's people who call the police for all kinds of things.
A neighbor of ours called the police to tattle.
Control.
Yeah, the narking is well, and the narking on. You know, on ridiculous things that are politically incorrect is ridiculous also. I don't know. It's like, I never understood why no snitching was like kind of a cool thing. But snitching, it seems to me, there's just nothing. Who likes this? I guess the people that want to tell on people like it, but I don't know.
They don't want to have a conversation. They just want to tell on them.
The news story was.
Well, they don't want them to ever work again. I mean, you're not, once you've been snitched on Twitter, your life's over. Did I tell you about the guy? Remember Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the number one fast food place. Did you know that?
Really?
Or number one.
Number one what?
Number one. Oh, God. I got the list here somewhere.
No kidding. Because
I read this yesterday.
There's not. There
is this the customer
a lot
service
of them.
One?
America's favorite fast food restaurant is Chick-fil-A with an 87 score. They're 6 points ahead of Panera. Wendy's was fourth. No, third. You know, fourth.
As I get older, the chickens have large talons.
As I get older, I'm really starting to hate Wendy's.
I kind of like Wendy's, but I didn't go for like 5 years, and then
buns
I went and
worst.
Was like, hey, this is good for a change. Burger King after Wendy's. Jack in the Box, followed by McDonald's last. Now, how can McDonald's be last? I don't buy that, but that's what they said.
So they're the target for all the hate.
Pizza, Papa John's, and Pizza Hut were number one at 80. Domino's and Chipotle at 79. Does Chipotle have pizza?
Chipotle.
I didn't know that.
No.
Me neither. And then full-service restaurants, Texas Roadhouse is number one, followed by Cracker Barrel and Longhorn Tide.
Really?
Olive Garden, and then Denny's was...
Olive Garden gets a bad rap, too.
I love Olive Garden.
Great breadsticks.
Oh, yeah.
I wish they had ice cream on here, because I went to Dairy Queen. You know, there's one in 9 Mile?
Yeah.
Do you ever go there?
No.
Shakes are still great.
Really?
Love Dairy Queen. They have some new stuff on there, too, that's pretty cool.
I love the soft ice cream.
Yeah, I like it too.
Swirl.
When they dip it in chocolate. Oh, my God, that's awesome. Anyway, I went there, and first of all, they had a cabana in back with like these little trees and lights.
Nice.
I was like, what's this? And they don't have seating outside. I was like, well, this is the coolest Dairy Queen ever. But there were probably 50 customers eating there or hanging out or about to order.
All right.
And I was like, Joe and Tess were there. We were like the three only white people there.
Huh.
Everyone was black.
Really?
It's like, is Dairy Queen a black thing? But
did
I
they call
didn't
the cops on you for being there?
No, they didn't. Nobody was calling police, I don't think. But is Dairy Queen a black thing?
I don't think so.
No, it's just...
Why would Dairy Queen on 9 Mile be so dominated by black customers?
I don't know. What day? Was it hot?
Was it a fluke?
Just everybody...
It was Saturday. I had no power.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe it was just people digging summer.
Yeah.
I mean, would you ever expect to go to Dairy Queen, though, and find all black people there?
How many Dairy
I'm not
Queens,
complaining or anything.
How many Dairy Queens are south of 8 Mile in this area?
I don't. Are there many Dairy Queens in this area at all?
There's one Berkeley. There's one. There's another one in Royal Oak that I can think of.
And there was a conversation going on about Red Lobster. Is Red Lobster a black thing?
I thought that I had heard that. Maybe I don't know.
Because I went to,
Red
Lobster.
To be seafood for people who don't get to seafood.
It's not that
cities.
Yes,
it's not that I.
That's the best way I've ever heard it described, Trudy.
Yeah, no, that's
good. It's good.
It's good analysis.
It's just butter and
well,
and everything.
I don't. By the way, I don't count. You know, I'm not like diversity obsessed or unobsessed.
Sounds like it.
Either way, but when I went to Red Lobster a long time ago, and don't even ask me what, because they came like, why were you at Red Lobster? Like it was the
worst
decision.
I think you're more of a racist than I am.
I'd eat a Red Lobster right now, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, the customers and the employees were virtually all black. Huh. I was like, well, I didn't know Red Lobster. I just thought Red Lobster would be a everybody
Where
thing.
Where were you? But
in Southfield, I think.
I don't want it, but I want to see someone eat it.
Maybe 12 Mile Road? I think there's one.
It's home to many weird fish-like creatures.
I was not a fan, by the way.
I'm not a fan. Well, it's really over.
The demographics of Southfield, though?
Southfield is probably, I mean, it's probably as black as any suburb in that area.
There's a high Jewish demographic there.
Yeah, there
as
was.
Well?
I don't know. Is that still true?
In Southfield?
Yeah,
it was very Jewish.
I
mean, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oak Park has a lot.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Dairy Queens on the map nearby, and
I don't think there's a lot of them, are there?
There's another one in Hazel Park, not too
there
far
is.
Away.
Dairy Queen delivered.
Dairy Queen still rocks. Do you guys like Brazier Burgers?
I never had one.
I don't think
those.
I've ever had.
I was not a big fan.
But yeah, there's none.
But their ice cream rocks. I got a chocolate dipped cone. Huh? Mm. I didn't think of that.
Kennedy, will you go to Dairy Queen?
Yeah.
Our friends and studio sponsors at Zod Ford and DealsandD.com are excited to announce the first ever Take Maz to the Top listener contest. The rules are simple because there's only one. We have to help Maz win Salesperson of the Month in July at Zod Ford. You know, it's amazing how much we help Maz. This part time employee, we're determined. It's like, I'm trying to think, what does this remind me of? It's sort of like when you give when the kid in the wheelchair enters the football game and he scores a 60-yard touchdown.
That's Maz?
Yeah, that's Maz winning Salesman of the Month.
It's getting put in at the end of the month. Let's put Maz in to get a few cars.
He works 7 days and somehow he wins.
That might be the best description of him. He's going to be so mad when somebody tells him.
Oh, yeah, somebody's going to tell. That was one of the best analogies ever on the podcast.
I just pictured Tom in a wheelchair.
Scoring the touchdown and spiking the ball really pumped.
Yes, and everyone getting around him and patting him on the back.
That story about him running home, him turning to run home when he was running for wrestling.
Yesterday was one of the best Maz appearances in a long time.
I agree. I know. He told that story on 105.1. It was funny. One of the funniest.
I think my favorite part of that was, does anybody in this town have a two-syllable name or less?
I know. He remembers everyone. He pancaked one guy in his life, and he remembers his name. It's like nine syllables. Stay in touch with these people.
He's awesome.
Okay, so Maz, yeah, we're gonna try and do the amazing, and he did win Salesperson of the Month his first 2 months, but he's been in a little bit of a slump, so that means Maz needs all of you beautiful listeners to buy or lease a new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV from Zod Ford this month, and that is a big if, because there's one guy over there who just kills it. Maz has not been able to pass this guy. He's a veteran, he's been there a long time, and he sold 23 cars last month. I think Maz had 18. If Maz wins Salesperson of the Month in July, we will draw one lucky listener who bought from Maz, and they'll get to be live in the DealsNadee.com studio during a Drew and Mike podcast.
Wow.
Friends, there is no more coveted prize than being invited into our basement to hang out with the gang and witness the magic in person, in the words of Steve Guevara. Stop delaying and dilly-dallying. Go see Maz, help him be victorious, and earn a chance to win this ridiculous, very ridiculous prize. But I think they may just move a few wheels on that one.
Maz will get his touchdown.
Eli should be coming along.
He's going to be so mad.
In a bit. Should we reinvestigate? I did have some great feedback on the cameos.
There goes Tom.
Tom Maz away. Oh, the tacklers are just falling off him. Oh, my God. There's one leap. He goes over his shoulder. He misses him completely.
This kid spiked the ball, too.
He could have grabbed him by the knees and taken him down easily, but he leaped. And Maz ducked, and oh, my gosh.
All right, let's try it again this time. Nobody tell Tom about that.
Please. Trudy, did you hear about Book a Cameo?
Yes.
What was the most ridiculous one you heard? Do you remember
Tommy Lee's. I don't know whether I'd want a Tommy Lee greeting.
No, Tommy Lee's is
and
really...
And it's so overpriced.
It was so phoned in.
Yeah.
His wife is prodding him with the names of the people.
Yeah, I don't want
she's talking as he's talking. I know, that was bullshit.
Now, why does he need her to be his other, like she's his brain now?
I know.
Like he's lost so much brain power, he needs somebody to operate him.
I was debating, though, do you think he needs the money? Because I think he does.
Because
really? Why would you charge why would you charge $250 if you didn't need the money?
But Terrell Owens doesn't need the money. So
I don't know.
T.O. needs it.
We were talking about that. Brandon made a great point. He was doing his reality TV show, and he was having trouble with money then, wasn't he?
He got into the fight with that other dude. The guy said, "You're only here because you're broke, because you squandered all your money." You don't remember that, Mark?
No, I don't.
Yeah, he had a reality TV show.
I know, it's living in California part of it.
Marginally
employed people live there because it's expensive to live there.
Okay, the thing is, Pam Anderson went broke.
Yeah.
She's got financial trouble. It's incredible how many of these people have financial trouble, and I never thought any of them did until, of course, we started reading about it. And then I visited Los Angeles, and one of my Graveline tours to the tragedy spots.
Right.
In the hearse, which got a flat tire on the tour. I told that story many times. And we were all this hearse full of people, of tourists of L.A., who all can't wait to see, you know, where Janis Joplin choked to death on her own vomit or whatever, or where Art Linkletter's daughter jumped out of the building because she was on LSD.
What?
I mean, some really dark people.
What a trip!
Some really funny, dark people. And the tour guides were really funny, too. He gets a flat tire because he drove off the road and hit a mailbox, which was hilarious because I saw it coming the whole time. And he left because I think it was pre-cell phones. So he went down the street to make a call. So we're all outside the hearse wandering in front of Aaron Spelling's giant mansion.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I got to believe they called the cops.
Narks.
And then some other guy from Graveline Tours showed up and changed the tire and we were on our way. But it was very memorable. What I was going to say was, on that trip, at the end of the trip, of all the tragedy sites, they took us to the Stars used clothes store.
Oh, nice. Cool.
And they were like, and they said, "This is another tragedy. Stars who have to sell their clothes." And it was like, oh, we can find out who's really broke out here, who's really hurting. And it was all people that, you know, just weren't working much, who maybe were. Terry Garr had a lot of stuff in there. I remember that.
Wow, boy.
I know. Boom.
Wow, that is an interesting indicator.
It was. It was real. And you know what? There were some really cool clothes in there, too, and they were busy as hell, which reminds me.
Oh, man.
Timothy Busfield and Melissa Gilbert are leaving Howell, Michigan, and they are having an estate sale. And I quote.
Quote, unquote.
Now, I thought you had to die.
They have too much stuff.
I thought you had to die to have an estate sale.
Yeah, I did, too.
You know.
Zeus is going to go, by the way.
When did you move at estate
what?
Sale?
Huh?
When you move, you have an estate sale.
I thought it was people died.
It is, and it's also if you're downsizing.
You see them all the time every week, estate sale up the street. You know, somebody's moving, they got a bunch of crap to
wait,
get
isn't
rid
that
of.
A, isn't that a yard sale, though, if you're alive?
Well, no, yard sale is like outside where you put all the crap
is
in the yard.
Is it a moving sale? Why don't they call it a moving sale?
Why is it different if it's inside? It's still a garage sale, but it's all in the house.
Well, it's not in the garage, it's not in the yard.
I think if it's an estate sale, that's actually more white trashy because it's like, we got to sell all our shit. Not just the crap. We're selling everything.
If you're downsizing from, like, big house and you can't handle that anymore, you sometimes have an estate sale.
I got it at a sale for only
liquidate
$5.
Stuff.
I mean, it's a big word. Estate means estate, and it's just the crap in your house. But yeah.
It's
a euphemism, right?
Let me say this about the estate. Melissa Gilbert owes almost $500,000 in federal and state taxes. So I think that might have something to do with it. They allegedly are moving to New York, and they've already furnished the place, so they don't need any of this stuff.
Fake. But where are they going to live in New York?
They have a place.
Shelter?
Someone's couch.
It's already decorated.
Oh, yes.
But listen to this. Let's see. Melissa Gilbert
said they're moving into someone's house.
Her husband, Tim Busfield, loves movies, a big collector of DVDs.
Their basement.
So there's a great collection of DVDs. Who buys DVDs?
No one.
Nobody wants DVDs, not especially Timothy Busfield's DVD collection.
they're hard to throw out. I keep them, even though I know that I have no use for them whatsoever.
My CD collection.
If there were an apocalypse, you could still keep them, and if you could get electricity to your DVD player.
Sure, have an estate sale.
What if something happens to Google Play? What will I do if I throw out all my CDs?
Use something
else.
True,
my CDs.
Yeah. By the way, has he been in anything since 30 something? I really don't
know. No, yeah, I don't think he has.
That was 30
just
years ago.
He's only been in Melissa Gilbert.
I was 30 something. I was 30 something at the time.
Groovy says, let's see, some of Gilbert's designer clothing is expected to be available. So, ooh, all shit she's worn.
Ugh.
Her half pint stuff.
Ugh.
As well as handcrafted original art pieces designed for Melissa Gilbert.
What? Designed
who
for
wants
her?
This crap.
That stuff ain't no good.
They're getting ready for a farewell party. Hey, blah, blah,
did you see
blah.
There's going to be a shuttle service at the estate because their driveway is so long?
Are you joking?
No. But the house is only 2,500 square feet.
Why are they so in debt if
they only
have
100 square feet on me?
Estate.
I know. Isn't that weird to think about?
Just stay good at what you're doing, which is, I guess, being poor.
The sale listing on the Poof Estate Service website states you'll find an entire main floor and upper level of basement garage filled to the brim with tons of great stuff. With everything in working order and in great condition, you're bound to leave with something you love. There's a detailed list of items and photographs. They're selling photographs.
Oh, my gosh.
Memorabilia.
We're so buying one.
Memorabilia from both their careers will be included in the estate sale.
Oh, boy.
Memorabilia.
They're not selling photographs of themselves. They must be, like, artistic photographs. Who wants a picture of some other couple in your house?
I wouldn't put it past them.
I don't know, Eli. I'm not so sure.
Little House on the Prairie fans.
You know, she has 35,000 Instagram followers, which means she could apply for Cameo.
That's right. Yeah, 20,000 Instagram followers is the... I should... let's see. Let's leave this silly Melissa Gilbert, Timothy Busfield.
By the way, they gave an interview to the Howl radio station, which I had no idea existed.
So I was kind of annoyed by that. They wouldn't select the Detroit market for that? Stephen Galanis and the team behind the Chicago-based company Cameo have re-imaged the age-old process of getting celebrity autographs. Cameo is a service that allows people to pay for personalized video shout-outs from athletes, celebrities, and social media influencers. They have over 1,400 stars on its talent roster, including Blackhawks legend Bobby Hull, Dennis Rodman.
I didn't see Rodman.
Entertainment reporter Showbiz Shelley. They're highlighting the Chicago people. And sports commentator David Kaplan?
Never heard of him.
Chicago sports guy. Why don't they highlight Frank Thomas?
Oh, is he on there? Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt's on there.
I knew that Big Hurt's
hurting for cash.
Big Hurt has a commercial, too, for a painkiller. I forget which one.
Yeah,
hey, guys, welcome to the inaugural Da Bears Fantasy Football League Awards Ceremony. Big congrats to Matt Christie and his team bust the cap on their miraculous 9-0
run. The rule about making the camera up high?
To win.
Who is that, Mark?
That's the guy you mentioned.
Oh, David Kaplan?
Enjoy the 2-2.
Surprised Eli doesn't
you
know him.
You suck. That was awesome.
I'm
embarrassed.
That was not.
The company Cameo takes 25% of the total. What does David Kaplan charge for a Cameo?
25.
25. So he makes $19 bucks.
Oh, I see. He's a sports talk guy in Chicago. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't Eli, am I right to assume that all these people are short of cash if they're doing this?
I don't know about that. I mean, a lot of guys that are just ridiculously, I like Shaq. I mean, is Shaq needing it to do Gold Bond again?
But he's not doing this.
And the General.
Oh, I'm not even sure what the shout out is. I mean, you like call somebody on the phone and say,
the video.
They send the video to the person. Give Eli an example.
Oh, like a happy birthday.
Let's see if Eli wants one. Maybe Eli would like to buy one.
We tried to buy one. We still have not gotten K-Fed.
Let me hear Terrell Owens. Here's Ari Landon.
Oh, T.O.'s got some. T.O. charges a lot, doesn't he?
$500
$500?
Wow, really?
Yeah, he did that one on the beach we watched yesterday.
I only heard it.
What's up, Greg? I am giving you a shout out to you and your company, Great Lakes Ground Management. Man, if I was living in Ohio,
isn't this embarrassing?
Reach out to you so you could do some work in my yard. But being that I'm not, I'm going to give a shout out to all the people in the Ohio area, especially Cleveland and the surrounding areas. If you're out there, check out Greg and the Great Lakes Ground.
Cleveland!
Check those guys out.
It's a commercial.
On Instagram at GLG Management.
We check GLG Management on Instagram.
So what's he supposed to do with that? So Greg is supposed to then send that out to all of his...
Put
it on his website or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His Facebook page.
Oh, man.
Oh, how positively stupid.
And your company, Great Lakes Ground Management.
See, it's good advertising for Great Lakes Ground Management.
We know that...
We need to do this.
What?
Three
three likes. Oh, it's really effective. They get their $500 worth.
Can't we do this for our listeners? Just our own little service, not Cameo, but just...
What would you charge? I think Drew's got to be at least $250.
$5.
$250.
You're going to be $250. So busy.
That's what Tommy Lee charges.
But fewer F-bombs.
If you had more money than God, which many stars do, you wouldn't do this. I mean, you've got to be short of cash.
No surprise this guy's on here.
Hey, Stacy, this is Pete Rose wishing you a happy birthday.
God.
And tell that fat bastard I said hi to. I know he's a great fan. Have a great day. It's your day.
Want to guess how much Pete charges?
How much?
$1,000.
$265.
$265.
That's in between him autographing merch.
Yes. Right. Well, that's all he does now.
That's what he does. In fact, I think I told you this. We ran into Pete Rose at the Hall of Fame one year. I was there selling the book with Denny, and Denny goes, "Hey, Pete, how you doing, Pete? What are you doing these days?" He goes, "I just do Pete Rose every day," that's what I do. I sign shit. I call people up. That's just what I do. I do Pete Rose. So that fills right in with his whole career. He just signs stuff, talks to people, pats them on the back, and collects the cash.
Wow.
Mark, there's 1,400 people on there, supposedly.
I've been scrolling through tons.
What's up? Chumley here in Boise, Idaho. Doing what I do. Just going to remind you guys to come on, stop by my Cameo.
Go away.
Get a message for your loved one.
Who are you?
Who is he?
What does he charge?
$54.
$54?
Now, Kim,
who is he? Who is he?
Chumley.
Pawn Stars.
Oh, from a reality show?
Yeah.
There's a lot of reality show people on here.
How do you come up with $54? $54. It used to be $58. Now I'm down to $54. But it's got to take you 15 minutes. I mean, that's not really big dough at all.
I think you're just doing bang, 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 bang. Don't you
think? We know that because we saw the videos. They're all wearing the same stuff in the same place. Mark Spitz is on here.
How's Mark Spitz look? Isn't he a dentist now?
Yeah.
What?
He's exactly my age. He won.
He's not hot anymore.
72. He won all of his golds.
What do you think he charges? Why won't this scroll?
Mark Spitz, I'm at $200.
Swimmers can't afford that much. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'd say the over-under.
Swimmers can't afford that much.
I'm going to guess 150. I'm going to take the under.
I got to find him again.
Why does he need somebody it? I mean, he's a dentist.
I can't believe Cam Chancellor's on here.
What's this website just called? Shout out?
Cameo.
Book Cameo. Book a Cameo?
Just Cameo. Cameo.com.
Cameo, okay.
Malik Zaire's on here.
Wait,
Bill Wennington. My God, yeah.
Guys all go bankrupt, though.
Yeah.
They do. Within 5 years of leaving the NBA, they're like 80% of them are bankrupt, which is just insane.
NFL even more so.
Who, Brandon?
Larry Wilcox.
Oh,
Larry Wilcox,
he
chips.
Oh, he's in front of his Dodge Ram.
Oh, cool. Oh, I want to buy one.
Good afternoon, Cheryl. This is John Baker from Chips, and happy July 4th, and congratulations on your new business, your sewing business, and
can I have a job?
And your trip, actually, your move to Idaho must be exciting and
interesting. Wow, he knows so much about her.
And congratulations on your jewelry. I used to mess a little bit with Montana
this is
sapphire.
Going too far.
Really a lot of
he's given a lot of value for $20.
Having those cut overseas, and then
at least he's not making it about himself like everybody else has.
He's $20.
Enjoy Idaho. I know there's some gemstones up there that are pretty cool also. Anyway,
he's working it. I give him credit. He's working it.
Yeah, I think the person actually paused it like, this is long enough.
You know, there's
the recipient paused it.
There's a lot of people on here that are temporarily unavailable. People like LT, Lawrence Taylor.
LT's on there?
Janoris Jenkins, which is kind of interesting since his brother was just arrested for murder.
What?
Hey, do we still have LT's number?
Yeah.
Rodman is temporarily unavailable.
Because there are too many for them to work on? They're overbooked?
I bought another one today, Drew. I was going to make it a surprise, but I'm going to let the cat out of the bag.
Farrah's on here. Oh, you bought
Farrah. Oh, my God. How do you know Farrah?
I was going to surprise you with it and have it just to you, but it says in about an hour, but we haven't gotten it yet.
And now the surprise is going to be what the message is.
Who wants to guess how much Farrah charges?
$50.
50? Anybody else?
I'm going to say 100. 100.
No, 100. 150.
$5.
Whoa!
How can it be worth
She's going for volume. She's going for volume.
I hope to God that's a typo because it's $5 and if my credit card gets charged more.
I got it at a sale for
hey,
only
loves,
5 months.
You are hearing it first. You can find me at Cameo. If you're having a good, bad, up, down, congratulations, big anniversary, something totally new
quiet
in your life, kind of a day, find me at Cameo and we'll make it happen. Can't wait
quiet
to chat with you and send you a special video.
No.
We've already seen a special video from you. Twice no, with James Dean in your butt. thank you, Brandon.
She could be a gag buy.
Queef it out.
I can see a lot of people buying her as a gag.
Here's her description on here, by the way. MTV star.
Shame on you, Trudy.
She writes, entrepreneur, busy screenwriting for my first film.
Fake.
And then every
her
hashtag.
First film?
Yeah, she's writing a film.
Is that Ron Jeremy?
It's not her first
God,
film.
Is that Ron Jeremy's first film?
Is that Ron Jeremy?
No.
Yeah, that's Ron. That's Ron.
Hi, I'm Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
Check me out along with other celebrities on Cameo, where we make videos just for you.
You read that?
No, how much for Ron Jeremy?
$150.
$150?
Whoa.
Jeez.
Here's another one.
Can you buy a quarter?
Hey, everybody. This is Stuttering John Melendez.
Oh,
I'm lying in bed just enjoying tweeting about my prank call to President Donald Trump.
Yeah, we know.
A video from me. Oh, as I'm sure you know, I'm Stuttering John. I was on the Howard Stern Show, announcer, staff writer from The Tonight Show. It's The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I will make a video for you right here on Cameo. And I'm looking forward to it. Oh, don't forget, boy. I love talking. I love asking goofy
yeah,
questions.
Clearly.
But he doesn't stutter anymore.
I'm getting away from that.
You got to identify yourself. You're not a very big name.
Simon Rex is on here. Do you remember Simon Rex?
No, I don't. Was he a VJ?
He was an MTV VJ who ended up being in gay porn.
Oh, yeah.
Busted for gay porn.
So
he's on here.
And now that's not even humiliating.
No.
Nope.
It's in his description.
Thing.
Jason and Steven, we want to wish John Reed and his little itty bitty bitty weedy beady baby dick a very happy birthday. I hope you get some positive regalia, and maybe that'll help fix your gay tendencies when you hit all the gay clubs in the San Antonio area. But seriously, we just want to say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, John Edward Reed. Happy birthday.
The less they charge, the more they do.
Yeah.
$50 for him.
Will Tab Hunter be announced by way
Tab.
Of...
Tab.
Tab Hunter?
Hi, this is Tab Hunter. I'm dead, but here's my cameo.
They recruit celebrities for the service. Some stars sign up on their own. 20,000 Instagram followers is the threshold to get accepted.
Can we please get to 20,000? Because I only want to do this if, Drew, if you're on here, if you have 20,000 followers.
Well, we're not on Instagram. We're barely on Instagram.
What keeps us from
we're
doing
working
it on
our own? Kennedy's working on our Instagram page.
You should call the guy, the ground cover guy that Terrell gave the shout out to and see how much business he's got.
Yeah.
Three likes on his Facebook page. Three likes.
Money well spent. Now, Cameo gets even dumber because there's these videos on here.
Oh, the people getting the videos. The videos of the people receiving them.
I know, but I just saw the name. No, I'm going to cry. No, I'm going to cry. No, I'm actually going to cry.
Who did you get a message from?
Hi, little man. Please, your prize is the telephone thing from
me. I don't know who the hell that is.
You are great and amazing birthday. Blessings.
There's somebody going crazy because a Real Housewife of New York gave her a birthday wish.
It's embarrassing.
Hey, Scott Rogowski. He's Rogo.
Rogo!
Let's buy a Rogo one.
Rogo's got enough money, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Hello, HQDs. Chag Sameach. Happy Passover.
Oh, he's doing
it's
the Jewish
Scott
thing.
From HQ. About to hit the Seder.
He's got
reminding
matzo.
You that I'm back on Cameo. Yes, I'm doing video shout-outs for the next 8 days of Passover, like for the 8 days of Hanukkah.
We get
eight
it.
Days of Passover. You can get a private shout-out using Cameo app.
Well, this is the Trap Trebek, the Woke Woolery, Regis Trilbin, Pat Slajak, the Bad and Bougie Barker, Scott. The host of
don't
HQ.
We hear all that every night?
Saying hello to Andrew Antenberg and all of Roslyn, New York and the Roslyn High School.
What's Rogo charge?
Roslyn! Love it out there.
What's with the hair?
And I want you guys to vote for Andrew Antenberg for OCC. I know nothing what? About this man personally. I can't vouch for his abilities on the council, which I'm assuming one of the C's in OCC stands for. But... I do know that Andrew Antenberg is an HQD, a confirmed HQD, and that counts for a lot.
Oh, my God.
El Rogo.
That's when I'd be bummed out.
A lot of respect right
How
there.
How much for him?
That was a nice idea, but it was really long.
It was unavailable.
Unavailable?
Unavailable.
Okay. Well, Eli, you should hit up Lincoln before we get too far gone here.
Okay.
And then we have to make the call, of course.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, I was just the dealership.
Hey, interrupted all our great cameos.
Jimmy McInerney said, I got to make him tougher. He said, they swept you last week.
Mm.
3-3, so I got to get at least 1 out of 2 today.
Now that our cleanup hitter's back.
All right, brought to you by Starlink, and what is the rule? Let's see if our baseball aficionados, Drew, Mark, Brandon, Trudy nailed it the last time. Here we go.
I cheated.
Man on second, nobody out. Pitcher fails to come to a complete stop in the set position as he completes his throw to the plate. Now the ump yells, balk. Completes the throw. The batter still swings, blasts a 2-run homer. Ump has a call to make here. What is it?
Dead ball. Balk.
Yeah,
runner
ball.
Goes to third.
I'm supposed to do the spot in the middle, but I'll tell you before that, you are wrong.
What?
You are so
what?
Freaking wrong.
What?
It's a 2-run homer.
Wait, did he call balk?
Yes, he called balk.
And he still pitched it.
Allow me to tell you the rule, which you're obviously totally unaware of. And this is the rule. Just because balk was called, the play isn't automatically dead. The rule is that if the runners and batter advance at least one base on the play, the balk is nullified because he completed the throw.
Okay. So, in other words, if he had stopped, of course, they would have just moved the runner along.
Right.
Wow, that's a weird rule.
It's a weird rule, but it's a rule.
Has that ever happened? I feel like I ask you this every week.
I assume it's happened.
You know
that's the rule.
I'm not so sure about that.
Okay.
I'll go
now,
find
I would
more
like
information
to know
about it.
When the last time that happened?
That's a good question.
These orders from Mr. McInerney?
No.
This is a ridiculous rule.
I did this one on the radio years ago, and it passed the fact checkers.
Happened in 2016.
Wouldn't let them go.
Did the personality at the time get it wrong?
There was no personality. It's the audience out there.
Okay. You ran the spot in the middle.
Many Tigers. In fact, I was at an outing once, and Pat Sheridan said to me, I can't even get half of them. Where do you get these things? I played the 10 years in the league. I don't know the answer to half of these.
That's a really good one.
Okay.
That's
let me do my weird. Spot here, okay? Then I'll give you a second chance, okay?
All right. I'm not happy.
When someone buys or leases a Lincoln at Star, they tap into luxury, legacy, and a piece of Detroit and American history. Henry Leland's new venture, Lincoln, started in 1917 after his hero, Abraham Lincoln. 50 years later, Hoot, already an icon among car dealers, named his dealership Star Lincoln, believing that Lincoln was the star among American luxury cars. And this year, Navigator took its star turn, voted 2018 North American Truck of the Year. But you know what you can do? Just call Jimmy D over at Star Lincoln. In fact, a whole bunch of incentives are coming out tomorrow. Just ask Jimmy D what he's got going on there. What kind of deals can he give you on a Lincoln? And that's all it takes to get it done. Call 855-567-STAR, 855-567-STAR. Ask Jimmy D whatever you need, even about other cars. He's your expert. Give him a call. Okay. You want to see if you can redeem yourselves? Otherwise, you're down 5-3. I got a little cushion.
The balk is called.
No, but it's a home run.
And now it's a home run.
What?
The balk, and Wong smoked it into the Cardinals bullpen for a two-run shot.
2 years ago.
You don't see that every day.
That's a balk continuation is what that is. Once they call a balk, doesn't mean the batter can't swing the bat.
Did I just steal Eli's thunder?
Look at the sheepish look on Drew's face. That's the definition of sheepish.
Why would you throw the ball?
He was kind of in the mid pitch.
Okay, I have a question now. What if the batter swings and misses?
Well, then it's a balk because if the runners advance at least.
Is it a strike, though?
If the runners advance. No, it's a balk.
Yeah,
because the runners didn't advance.
Why does it only count if he hits it for a home run?
Mark, how come he's not listening?
I
know. Is there a reason why he's not listening?
I understood what you said. It's a stupid
talking,
rule.
You're talking, but he's not listening. It's the rule. Just because a balk was called, the play isn't automatically dead. The rule is if the runners and batter advance at least a base on the play, the balk is nullified. So
why
if he swings
only
him,
if, why only
like,
if something
like
good
happens?
It's like
a power play. It's like a power play. They got at least a base, but they could get more.
Good analogy.
Right?
Okay.
It's a play on.
All right.
Would you like it? Can you?
I give up.
Can you?
Or
focus
like in soccer
again?
When they call the foul.
I wanted to make the point though that if the guy swings and misses, it doesn't count, which is silly.
It's a balk.
It's a lot of homers.
Yeah, it's a balk. Like it should have been.
Okay. Would you like to do another one? Can you
yes.
focus?
Okay. I'll try.
Here's another one.
There's so many examples of this happening. Online.
How you guys find stuff, I don't know. That's what
I don't
amazing.
Ever remember this happening, ever.
Here's another one. Situation Wild has struggled against left-handers this year. This is off of Mike Stanton.
A left-handed hitter. That catcher can see right down that line. And he
easy to pitch out. Get one outside that's tough to bunt. Let's see. Oh, boy. They call
Wait,
the
that's a pitch out.
They call the balk. That means the game's over.
Oh, it was, never mind. That was not it. Different example. That's a different rule.
All right.
No, it's Mike's. It's an old one.
Here we go. Number two. Pitch. Drew is looks in deep concentration.
I am trying.
He knows the pressure is on. Because after all, you swept both last time. Here we go.
An over.
Bases loaded. Two outs. Batter smashes a grand slam homer. Okay, bases loaded, two outs, grand slam homer. But as he circles, the runner on first misses second. The opponents appeal and the umps uphold it. So, how many runs will the so-called slam produce? How many runs will it produce? Okay, hits a grand slam, and the guy was on first, misses second base, it is revealed. How many runs score?
Three.
One.
I had two.
I'm going to say three runs.
How could everybody be wrong? You're all
It's either one or three.
Believe it or not.
Oh, because the game's over.
Believe it or not, the inning's over. This grand slam yields no runs. By failing to touch second, the runner on first is declared a force out that ends the inning totally, negating the bases-clearing blast.
Damn it.
Wait, wasn't there one on third, though?
Great question.
Yeah, but it's like a force out.
The third out of the inning, the run doesn't score.
It's like it was a ground ball to short, and he flipped it to second because there's a force out because the guy missed second base. So technically,
he's
never
out.
If
right.
they tag second base on the appeal,
that
out.
Ends the inning. Even if the guy at third had scored, it doesn't matter because the force out ends the inning.
Yeah, you got to pay attention. I forgot about that.
Boy, it's a big week for the dealership.
That was good.
It's a good week, boy. Jimmy McInerney's going to be a pat in the back tomorrow.
Has that ever happened?
What? Or lost inside my wife's big, fat, cheating vagina.
That's a rarity.
Well,
very
this was
rare.
A lot of fun. I got a clean sweep today.
That second question is really good. I love that question. Because the appeal, you throw it to the base, and it's the force out.
Right.
He missed the base.
Right. You're smiling now. That's good. See, the first one you missed and you were all pissed off.
Well, I'm pissed
this
off
one you
that.
Missed and you're happy.
I don't like the rule for the first one. I didn't know that rule, and I just feel it's a dumb rule.
If there was one out, how many runs score? On that. Great
good question.
Lineup. Is it two or is it one?
That would have been the second. Maybe three would have
scored. That's an even better
that.
Question.
I would imagine three would have scored because it wouldn't have ended the inning. He would have been out.
Oh, never.
They would have appealed
advances.
That one. The other ones would have scored because it was less than two outs.
Let's see. The runner on first, does he? No, he's not passing the runner because the runner's.
He's out.
But he's not out until they touch the base. He's already passed the guy, technically.
Yeah, but say he.
Oh, we're not talking about passing anybody here. Nobody
with one out.
Say
with
he
one
hit
out.
It, like your other example,
no, he didn't
he
pass
hit it to short, you throw it a second, then the second baseman tries to turn two, and he just chucks it, and it bounces around, and they all score.
He didn't pass it. He just missed second base. Yeah. It wasn't a matter of passing.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of rules about passing guys.
I know. Those are great. I love it.
We'll do one on passing guys next week.
Okay, please do. I'm studying this time. Jeez.
All right, just for the record, Starlink and five.
Three. Yeah.
Drew and Mike podcast three.
All right.
Have a great evening, everybody. I'm going to smile all the way home.
Not expecting that.
It's like Eli HQ.
That was a rough defeat.
You ought to ask 10 questions next time. Give him 3 seconds
good,
to answer.
Those are good questions.
Hey, did you talk about the Neil Young thing?
No. Oh. No, but there's, you know what, I'm glad you brought it up because there's a couple of other things I want to mention in conjunction. But go ahead, tell the story.
So he's at the Fox Theater day before Independence Day. And he was sort of, you know, like kicked back Neil. It wasn't Rock Neil who was there. And so he's got the banjo and the ukulele on stage. And he's sort of going down memory lane during a performance of Broken Arrow, talking about back in the days in Detroit when he lived with Joni and Chuck Mitchell off of the Wayne State campus.
Chuck Mitchell being the husband of Joni Mitchell, where Joni Mitchell got the name Mitchell.
Right.
Which she kept, which kind of surprised me. I'm reading about this in the James Taylor book right now.
Yeah.
Which I'll just take it, I'll take it on a brief sidebar when you finish the story about Joni.
Anyway, it says in the Metro Times, you'd think the audience would have been raptly listening to such a special, intimate performance in a gorgeous venue, perfect room for the fragility of Neil's voice. There were a bunch of guys in the back going, play Rocket in the Free World! Cinnamon Girl!
Yeah,
of course.
Free World! My, hey, hey! And all those other things they were yelling out. And it like harshed
it bummed Neil's
Neil's buzz out. And he just He just completely, went into the next thing,
aborted
the story.
They're there to hear him
sing. Into the next thing. And then he had a lengthy note that he put on his website about Rough Night in Detroit. Chicago and St. Louis got him, but people were really buzzed.
Oh, come on. Three people. You can't base that on three idiots yelling out song titles. Neil! He's a cantankerous guy.
He didn't really give Detroit too much of a bad time about it because he goes, it's 4th of July. People were partying. But
do you think he'll learn his lesson and not tell so many stories? Maybe just keep rocking out.
That reminds me of seeing Don Henley in Phoenix when I lived there. And Don Henley starts talking about Walden Woods.
Oh,
and of course, the crowd is applauding wildly, like this is so important, like they give a shit, which they don't, of course. Right. And he keeps talking about Walden Woods.
Oh boy!
And after about 2.5 minutes of talking about Walden Woods, people start yelling, "Play a tune, man! Come on, play some music!" And I mean, it's getting like really a lot of people. It was in the Suns Arena, so it was a lot of people starting to get really that restless sound of a crowd that doesn't want to listen to bullshit anymore.
Yeah.
And he finally said something like, I can tell some people want me to wrap up, so I'll just say there's people handing out flyers as you exit the arena, which, of course, they all throw away. But I don't know. Don Henley was that kind of a guy.
I've been to Walden Woods. What is the BFD there? You've been. You live in Massachusetts.
Henry Walden. I don't think I ever attended Walden Woods.
But Kensington is just as cool as Walden Woods.
I know. There's a lot of places just as cool.
Is that the book Bill Clinton gave to
Monica?
No, he
gave Leaves of Grass.
Walt Whitman.
That's the one he gave to every chick, right?
Yes.
You know, today when they were talking about...
I never read it.
Giuliani telling Trump... Or telling Michael Cohen to tell the truth. Mm. You know, quote-unquote, tell the truth. And
Giuliani!
And they were suggesting Michael Cohen sending a message to Trump like, take care of me if I... tell the truth, quote unquote. And it reminded me of, I was surprised they didn't mention this because they were saying that, frequently people who are in the process of being in trouble will try to get the word out to whoever that, you're going to back me up here, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
And they didn't mention this, but it reminded me, remember when Bill Clinton wore the Monica Lewinsky tie he got?
Yeah. Oh.
What was he doing then? I can't remember.
Wasn't he just going down a line shaking hands with people at some...
I thought he spoke for some reason, and it was like, of all the things to wear, he wore the tie that Monica Lewinsky gave him, and people thought he was trying to send a signal to her, like, I still love you, baby.
He wore it to keep her Lewinsky testified.
Whoa, what?
Oh, that's right.
How did they know it was the Lewinsky tie?
It's the day of her grand jury.
I don't know, but they knew. They knew.
And people speculated that he was
sending her a message.
Support.
Yeah. Don't narc on me.
Yeah.
Remember
I love you. Protect me, baby. How about that Susan McDonald? Susan McDonald spent 2 years in prison rather than talk about Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
Did you see the story about Bill and Hillary today? Flying commercial.
Yeah. Flying commercial.
Yeah, they flew commercial.
There's got to be for publicity.
New York to D.C., but the best part is Bill's like glad handing and talking to everybody in the airport. Like,
he's stealing.
I'm back.
And she hit with Secret Service.
Ah.
There's all these pictures of him just chatting up with people, and she's just.
Wait, first of all. I mean,
he's stealing Jimmy Carter's deal.
I have one. I have a question. This is the question I think everyone should be asking. What were they doing on the same flight? Was that an accident? Was that a coincidence?
Yeah, good point.
Give me a break. Are you kidding me?
Worst flight of his life.
There was a story in...
She needed two seats.
I'm trying to remember where I read this yesterday. It was in one of the...
This lady wrote on Instagram. Someone asked about, her friend meeting Hillary, and this person said, unfortunately, no one got a chance to talk to her since she stayed in the corner while Bill shook everyone's hand and took countless selfies.
He was the president.
He loves it, though, but he loves people. Bill Clinton loves people. You know he loves people.
Doesn't she see that's why so many people, that's one of the reasons so many people hate her and wouldn't vote for her.
And why they like him.
Yeah. It's clear as day.
Yeah. Cohen?
The story I read yesterday was that Hillary Clinton is raising money right now, and the question was, what would she be raising money for? And people were suggesting that she wants to run in 2020.
I'm going to file an injunction against that.
A restraining order.
But remember, the devil's in the details. You see how much money she allegedly raised?
No, I don't know.
It's only like $1.5 million. It wasn't that much at all.
But they didn't but there was no reason for it to be raising money.
For to help immigrants.
You should go on Cameo.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Well, that's what they said.
And oh,
that's
what they said? I haven't given up on her yet.
Hillary Clinton on Cameo. Hello, Drew. I heard it's your birthday.
Hello, Iowa.
You know, I'm back.
I can't get over how fake it sounds when the people say, I understand you got a new job. I understand you're having a birthday. By the way, the biggest Cameo sellers are the social media idiots, the Instagram studs, the people. Logan Paul is one of the biggest.
Let's buy it.
No.
No.
No income for
him. I do not want.
No more money for him.
No, I don't want a Logan Paul intro.
Actually, no internet for Logan Paul at all.
Yeah, no more internet for you.
No more internet.
Hillary raised more than $1.5 million for migrant children and their families being separated at the border, with money going to several groups, including the ACLU and Asylum Seeker Advocacy Program.
How?
Can I see a receipt for that? I'll believe it when I see it. Half the donations came from Twitter with email, Instagram, and Facebook.
I get $2 for everyone they get.
It's for handling and processing.
Oh.
Go away.
Anyway, Trudy, when you mentioned the Neil Young thing, it reminded me of her hanging out with Chuck and Joni Mitchell. Chuck Mitchell did not last long. She divorced him, kept the name.
Really?
And, of course, went out to Los Angeles, and she... If you think about that period, I would have thought that, Linda Ronstadt would be the one maybe everybody had to have. Who were the hot female singers at them? Carole King, Linda Ronstadt, Joni was up and coming. Who else was hot then? Barbara Streisand, I guess, was kind of sort of hot. And, limited appeal.
She's all yours.
But Joni Mitchell, no thanks. Joni Mitchell was the one that they all wanted. And I forgot who she started off dating, but
why?
It was being suggested in the James Taylor book that she was kind of going stepping stone to stepping stone, like it was, I forgot who the first one was, but then to David Crosby, to Graham Nash, who was married and
wrote the song.
His whole thing blew up, and he was crazy about her, and so was Crosby. But then I think there was someone else, and then all of a sudden she lands on James Taylor.
Wow.
And everything changed. All of a sudden, Joni was really hung up on James Taylor. And the book suggests that James Taylor was the coxman of them all.
Wow. Really?
All the women wanted JT, and that JT just had no loyalty to anybody. His loyalty was to heroin or methadone or pills or whatever. He injured his shoulder. He was I'm doing great in this methadone thing. And then all of a sudden he hurts his shoulder and they put him on Percocet or something. And, oh, man, he's off and running on Percocet. And everyone's scrambling to find him more Percocet because he's always running out for some reason. It's crazy. But JT was, I'd forgotten that he was from a wealthy family.
Hmm.
And
JT.
Was he from Martha's Vineyard?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And the feeling was, why is this guy, this rich kid, you know, acting like this boho rock star, you know, folky guy, singer-songwriter. But then when he got into drugs, and all of a sudden he was in a mental hospital for a long time because they didn't have rehabs then. So his family put him in this super expensive mental hospital, which got him off heroin, got him on methadone. Then he got out, went back to heroin immediately, of course. And so it was like, wow, he's so interesting. He's from a rich family, but he's really screwed up, and nobody knows why.
And talented.
And so all the chicks just love JT.
Because they could, like you said, fix him.
Yeah, I guess that was the idea.
Fix him.
And Joni, who was really starting to happen. I mean, Joni Mitchell was, I mean, women especially. Are you a Joni fan?
Oh, my sister was.
People that liked Joni were crazy about her. Loved her music.
No, she's good.
Yeah, she was a great writer and good player and all that.
I mean, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes is an awesome song.
She wrote the Woodstock song, too, which Crosby, Stills, and Nash recorded. And
wasn't Our House about her, too, Graham Nash?
I think there's quite a few songs. To her. I believe there's a few songs about Joni.
What
Mitchell.
Is it with Joni?
Oh, Judy Collins was kind of big at the time, too, but she was a poor man's Joni Mitchell, wasn't she?
Yeah, Judy Collins is...
Send in the clowns.
She want to look at life from both sides
both
now?
Both sides now, yes. Instead of taking off in her big yellow taxi.
put up a parking lot was hers too?
Yeah, that's Big Yellow Taxi. Put up a parking lot. I never understood that song.
Startling blue eyes.
Yes. So, back to Neil Young. That reminds me of a couple
rivals.
Other sort of star stories today. I was reading about Todd Harrell from Three Doors Down, who, and this all went backwards. I'm reading this story about opiates in the Free Press today. And they're talking about all these people who were, you know, their lives are just getting destroyed by opiates. And there's a story about Todd Harrell, who played bass for Three Doors Down.
Did he play the inauguration?
Did he play?
Wasn't Three Doors Down the one of the inauguration bands?
Of 2016?
Who?
No, for Trump.
Really?
I thought.
Yeah.
Were they? Really?
Yeah, was he one of them?
No, he wasn't in the Three Doors Down then because...
Well, maybe that's why they like him, because of the whole, his fight on opiates.
Multi-platinum recording artist, Three Doors Down.
Crowd goes wild because there's nobody else.
It's a pretty cool stage.
I'm surprised they weren't thrown out of the business for playing at this thing.
Is Trump in the front row rocking out? As you
can see, they don't care. There's no one there.
I don't like that.
Where, are there any crowd shots?
Kryptonite.
Yeah. Go forward.
Ooh, kryptonite. Oh, there's some
crowd shots. I mean, is Eric getting off?
Oh, Kryptonite must have been the last song.
Oh, wait. Go back a little bit before that. I thought I saw a shot of the VIP section.
Who did the intro? Was that, what's his name?
Let's get ready to rumble, guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, was it Michael Buffer?
No, it was the other guy from Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, Fantasia.
Oh, the guy that won't call us back?
Yeah. That we're on his
buddy.
Blacklist.
That guy.
Add him to our blacklist.
Anyway, Todd Harrell from Three Doors Down was going 101 miles an hour on some street in, I think it was Tennessee,
He
got in an accident, killed this guy,
And
he had all kinds of drugs on him, in his sock, by the way. They busted him. He's going on trial for, you know, vehicular manslaughter or whatever, and he's, because he's in Three Doors Down, he's got money, he's bonded out, he gets a DUI before the trial.
Oh, my Jesus. God.
So Three Doors Down throws him out of the band.
Yeah.
Well, they had so many charges against this guy because he had all these drugs. He had drugs in his system. I think he had alcohol. He was going 101 miles an hour, so it was like reckless driving and resulting in death and vehicular manslaughter for the crash and blah, 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 blah. Well, he ends up getting all these suspended sentences and concurrent sentences. Somehow he ends up with only 2 years.
Wow.
Which they acknowledge was, wow, that was some amazing defense.
Yeah. Who's that lawyer?
Yeah. So he gets out, and what happens? He gets busted for, his wife calls the police for domestic violence,
nice.
And the police show up, and what do you know? He's got a gun, a felon in possession of a gun, and there's drugs.
Oh, boy.
And so I don't know what's going to happen to him now, but that was like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, boy. What a bummer.
Then Johnny Depp in the news again.
Oh, Lord.
Johnny is being sued by a location manager for a Biggie Smalls movie he was shooting. Johnny was supposed to do a scene that was on a street, I guess, and Johnny had requested that I would like to hire two other people for this scene, which is quite unusual. And they said, okay. Well, it turns out, what do you know? They're friends of Johnny Depp.
Oh,
so
nice.
they're getting paid for the scene, and they're working on this scene, and the location manager says, Johnny, this scene is not working. Let's do it one more time, and then we're going to have to rework it. So Johnny, because his friends are involved, apparently gets all bent out of shape, and he ends up getting real physical with his location manager and punching him, and then allegedly says, I'll give you $100,000 to hit me back.
What?
Because the guy won't
hit
him.
What do you want to do, huh?
You can't hit Johnny Depp.
No.
He's the star in your movie, and you're the location. You're the lowly location manager,
right,
who is just notifying him that the scene isn't working and we got to do something about
it. Never
work
again.
Flips out and starts punching this guy, and I guess he cracked a rib or something, and then he didn't hit Johnny back. He's now suing Johnny Depp for assault for this event.
I'm rooting for him.
And he also said that Johnny Depp reeked of alcohol, by the way. Just thought he'd throw that in.
How long do you suppose it would take for all the alcohol to get out of his system if he tried?
Whew, boy, that'd be a lot of flushing. I think he'd have to drink
time.
A lot of fluids for a long time.
You know, he clearly knows no one's going to hit him and he's trying to entrap this dude into assaulting him. Right?
Yeah, I know. Something it's like that. It's a real bullshit deal for Johnny Depp. First of all, Johnny Depp is a tiny guy. I think a lot of people could easily kick his ass.
Oh, yeah.
He sounds like such an asshole now. It's just amazing to me that 10 years ago, I thought he's a guy that did maybe 15 years ago. He's a guy that just does cool movie after cool movie after cool movie after it's a Johnny Depp movie. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. And now, not only are his movies shitty, but I think he's a real asshole. And he sounds like he's a giant baby. Just a big grown-up baby.
And he's no longer handsome, so he hasn't got that.
He doesn't look that great either.
He tunes his guitar for 20 minutes before playing a song. And then only plays a few chords of it.
That was one of the funniest things in that whole story, I thought.
I didn't know it.
That the guy, the writer, somehow Oasis comes up in the conversation to which Johnny says that he doesn't like Oasis. Wasn't that what he said?
Yeah. Well,
the writer but then said he proceeds that.
The writer said that.
Oh, the writer
Johnny
said that.
Johnny grabbed his guitar.
Yeah, so it's even worse.
I guess change his mind?
I guess.
Wait till you're depified.
No, I don't think he heard the guy say that. I think he just heard Oasis. I can play some Oasis. And then his guitar wasn't tuned, and he was wasted, so it took him 20 minutes to tune his guitar. And then he got bored after half a verse.
Anything worse than waiting for someone to tune their guitar?
Oh, my God. As if it mattered. As if the half verse was going
to
be that much better.
The other annoying thing was when he came back reanimated and cranked the TV. 99 to watch a video that I'm in!
As the guy's holding pillows over his ears because it's too loud. And he turns it up.
It's like 3 in the morning.
Jesus.
And then when the guy was leaving finally for the last time and saying goodbye, Johnny couldn't get
the gate open. Yeah.
And he kept saying, hold on, let me try this. And he's pushing button after button, and he still can't. The guy ends up climbing over the fence.
My God. God, what white trash.
I know, it sounded just ridiculous. Yeah. Wow. And his new agent, by the way, new guy,
The lawyer,
sounded quite shady.
Yeah, kind of huckstery.
Yeah. As opposed to the agency. He's not going to win.
Not even come
great
close.
Lawyer.
And then Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, who I had to really reach back and figure out, who is this guy exactly? And I remember finally...
Was he in
Match Point. Match Point.
God, that's a phenomenal movie.
He's the guy that kills ScarJo in Match
Point. Spoiler alert.
I know, sorry. The movie's 11 years old or 12 years old, I think.
Oh, that is such a great movie.
I know, that is a great movie.
It's a Woody Allen movie. You're not allowed to like it.
Oh, I forgot.
Isn't it?
Shit.
Isn't it a Woody Allen movie?
And ScarJo just had lunch with Woody Allen, too, so she's terrible. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Rhys,
whatever.
That's where Jim got the name for his son.
Oh, no.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers?
Named after Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
No.
Get out of here.
Jim was a huge fan.
No way. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Do you know anybody else named Rhys?
I know, but I know. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers named his kid Wolf.
This must stop.
Go ahead.
He was also born Jonathan Michael Francis O'Keefe.
He gets in a drunken fight with his wife on a flight.
Ugh.
On a flight. God. And it was apparently a profanity-laden argument. You know, this one's like, can't you wait to get home to assault your wife and get in a profanity-laden argument?
I know, you got to ruin everyone's flight.
You can't even wait till you're off the plane. He was smoking e-cigarettes, which apparently is a no-no on a plane.
Is that a no-no? Is it because of the battery?
I don't know, because it has the word cigarette in it, is probably why.
Are you serious?
Nobody wants to smell it. And also,
doesn't smell like anything.
It doesn't really smell that much.
Well,
actually, it smells sweet, if anything.
Yeah, but a lot of
depending
those
on the flavor,
I'm not
have blown up in the past, too.
So it's the battery issue, allegedly.
Fire.
People would be like, oh, my God, oh, you can't have that.
I think it's because it has the word cigarette more than anything.
Probably.
In my opinion.
That's ridiculous.
But, yeah, because it's not real smoke. But nonetheless, it was considered a crime on that plane, and he was arrested when he got off. And it turns out, I didn't realize he had been in multiple rehabs.
Yeah.
I guess he's got quite a drinking problem. Trudy started pulling up pictures of him looking very drunk.
And this picture on his Wikipedia page, the sort of identifying photo.
I think the Daily Mail.
He was so drunk in that.
Did you see the Daily Mail story?
On Rhys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the best picture of him ever, like as a total disaster. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Let me find it.
Because there's been a few. There's been the one where he was staggering in the airport and he just did not know what was going on. There was also the one where he was coming out of a store with a bottle of vodka, and he just looks so unkempt, and his flies down. And
cool. His wiener's out.
A huge drunk.
See, now you know why Jim likes him.
I don't think his wiener was out. See, here it is. Here he is. He's got vodka.
That's the one. That's the one the Daily Mail used, that one.
Oh, boy.
Save that. We'll put it on
what is in his bag?
Vodka.
On the episode.
It's vodka? Yeah, he's pulling this vodka bottle out and drinking it on the street.
Oh, that's nice. Well, he's doing great. That's just great. God, he was really good Match Point, I will say.
Yeah.
Really good.
I love that you ruined the movie.
Oh, here's the airport one. I'm trying to find the airport ones where he was so hammered that people just had to tell him, hey, dude, you need to sit down and relax.
Has he done squats since that movie?
No one can tell.
Oh, The Tudors. He was in The Tudors. That was a big, yeah, that was a big show.
Okay.
Well, he was...
You would hate
no
it.
Electricity.
Who was he in The Tudors, though? Wasn't he?
I get enough of no
it was
electricity.
King Henry.
It was King Henry.
The eighth he was.
The Tudors.
He also played
who
Elvis.
Was very powerful, but had no electricity.
He played Elvis on the CBS miniseries.
He's like huge.
Nobody without power is powerful, in my opinion.
Maybe that's why that happens to you so much, because of your deep hatred for Korean pieces.
Authority.
Pre-electricity.
He hasn't done shit lately, though.
He's too busy being drunk all the time.
By the way, keep the emails coming. They're really hilarious. It's like, Drew, it's 1:45 in the morning, it's 61 degrees, and not even breezy, and I just lost power.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm amazed at how many people are losing power. I always thought that, like, right now, for example, what is it, like 78, 80 degrees?
Someone's without power. Let's check out the outage.
Somebody, I guarantee you that if you check the coverage map, there's people without power. I didn't think anyone lost power.
Why would you be without power
when there was normal?
Right now?
Yeah, in 2018, why are people losing more power than they used to lose 10, 20 years ago?
Let's see where there's an outage here.
Does Detroit have a power shortage?
We've got all kinds of sources for power.
The DTE people.
There's a big one here.
The DTE people have led me to believe that there's some serious mismanagement and some very old equipment that they do not want to spend money fixing until they absolutely have to.
I believe that. Well, when are you going to do it then? When there's a blackout? In August, probably.
No, they
remember,
do it,
around
they,
the cruise.
They do it when the equipment completely fails and is beyond the point of return, and that's when they replace equipment, not when they put work orders in.
That's probably when they will be forced to do it. But they'll come up with something, though.
They also said that there really is no good infrastructure plan.
Really?
That's just kind of a, you know, take it as it comes. That, what, you know, there's a lot of problems with branches and trees, and that they should be getting ahead of this stuff, but they're not because they don't want to spend money. It's all about the bottom line. By the way, rates are going up.
Weren't there branches and trees back in the day when we had power all the time?
Yes.
And nobody had underground lines?
I know.
So, and storms.
In their defense, I have seen them in this area cutting trees recently, which is like, oh my God, DT's out cutting trees. I'm so pumped.
Yeah, good for them. All right.
Bummer. Hey, there's a story on Channel 4 here about the battle going on in Royal Oak.
Oh, over parking? Matt Riley is so pissed today.
He's going to hate this story because it's not only Andiamo's that's closing, quote unquote, over parking. There's three other restaurants.
What?
Which I'm just going to say, that's bullshit, though, because
they have that new structure. I'm going to get the biggest earful about this tomorrow. I'm bummed because of what I have to hear now because Matt is going to be so pissed.
It's all now about you,
in
sweetheart.
Downtown Royal Oak. The mayor says it's all about
But they have that new parking structure across from the post office.
And Matt sends me pictures all the time like 704 empty spaces. It's got a graphic thing out there that shows how many empty spaces there are.
He's right. This is a big joke
and
that these places are closing.
A lot of these people don't know. They're blaming it on parking. It's probably mismanagement, or I think as we're going to learn.
For dining is losing not one, but four restaurants.
Right.
The owners of Andiamo and three other eateries say it's because there isn't enough parking in downtown Royal Oak. The mayor says it's all about politics. Let's bring in Priya Mann.
Priya
Andiamo says the neighboring construction project there is really behind their decision to move out.
Yeah, Devin, take a look. That's the Civic Center project behind me there. That was a massive municipal lot that has been closed for construction.
There's one right behind it.
They were losing 15% a month, and it was not sustainable. They're blaming the city as they lock up their doors.
It's like losing a child.
After nearly two decades, Andiamo in downtown Royal Oak is shutting.
How many Andiamos are there?
Well, the main one in Warren?
I think that'll be fine.
Shutting its doors.
Between us... with the city taking our parking and our landlord not renegotiating the lease, just made it impossible
for us to stay.
Joe Vicari says losing this parking lot next door cost the restaurant $20,000 a month. The mayor of Royal Oak isn't buying it.
So if you're not offering a new and relevant product, we have other businesses that have reinvented themselves, that have invested in their business, and they're doing well. I think that the mayor has got some sour grapes. It was not
a lack of our food quality. It was a lack of parking.
Three neighboring restaurants have also decided to leave due to a lack of parking. Cantina Diablo, Red Fox, and Dixie Moon Saloon will not...
Rocker Bar.
I'm really distraught now that Red Fox is closing.
What's Red Fox? I don't even know what it is.
It's upstairs from the Cantina Diablo.
I don't know who the hell you are.
What's Dixie Moon?
No, I've never been. I don't think anyone's ever been there.
It's very soccer.
No one's ever. What is?
The one that you took me to, that Red Fox once. We watched soccer.
Of course.
Oh, no wonder they're closing down.
Hey! It's always sad to see businesses go, but I don't know that it's the city's job to, you know, build our entire future around a handful of businesses.
The mayor points out there's over 1,000 parking spots in a block of these restaurants on Main Street. The Civic Center project would also add 580 parking spots. See? People had different opinions about why the restaurants were leaving.
Maybe they're too expensive.
What's it like to park in Royal Oak?
It's really hard and very complicated.
People just
there's 704 empty spaces. Wait, that kid can't drive. He's
just
like going to
say that. He has no idea how easy or hard it is.
Parking spots. People had different
That's
opinions
not a man on this
the
child on the street.
Maybe they're too expensive.
What's
You're
it like to park in Royal Oak?
It's really hard and very complicated.
What, to park
People
your
just
bike?
Don't want
to
walk even the slightest distance.
Yeah. Amen,
thank
honey.
You for
and
pointing out,
was
hot chick.
About this parking structure, which is down the street
thank
from Andiamo.
I already said
as
that, Priya. Thanks for listening to the
podcast. Project, a six-story building
Show
would
empty
add
spaces
about
700 are,
full-time jobs to the area. The mayor says that is the approach to helping restaurants and businesses in this community, bringing more full-time work. The mayor is not buying the argument. And as you heard, four businesses now walking away from downtown Royal Oak. Reporting live, I'm Priya Mann, Local 4. Oh,
but Priya. Interesting, Priya, that the mayor says this is a purely political matter.
Yeah, he says this has nothing to do with parking. A handful of business owners actually sued the city over the Civic Center project, saying that there weren't enough studies analyzing the impact on business owners. Ooh. They lost in court, and they are now appealing that decision. The mayor says that's the motivation, not a lack of parking. Send it back to you.
All right, Priya.
There she is. She's got one.
Yeah, Priya's on the board.
The podcast. I wonder if she knows.
Thanks for listening, Priya. Oh, boy.
So
she could use the Brandon, I'm working excuse.
Yeah, but no.
Couldn't they, I mean, aren't they, once the project is done, don't they stand to benefit from all of it? They just stick it out?
Probably.
Are they just sore losers?
I think they're maybe, the guy had problems with his landlord. It was clearly a conspiracy between the city closing his parking lot down and the landlord who wouldn't lower his rent. Rents are.
Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
Rent in Royal Oak is very expensive.
Ooh.
Yes, it is. Thankfully, the owners of Project Full Disclosure own the building. So.
I wonder if that building where Red Fox is for sale now. Cantina Diablo's
Good
below.
Question.
That's a nice place.
You guys want to give me $2 million? I'll buy it.
Maybe there's a consortium that will take an interest in that.
Julie's very distraught, too. I had to text her right away. Let her know.
Oh.
We're very sad about that.
Yeah.
She wants me to buy it.
Something new will come in, though. I mean,
but they won't have fish and chips.
Maybe the competition's heating up between Ferndale and Royal Oak.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The sign outside Ferndale, Como's, which was bought for, I think it was $3 million. They wanted 4.2 or something. Remember? We were going,
Como. What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The sign was, Ferndale should not be another Royal Oak.
Yeah.
Ferndale's becoming another Royal Oak. Yeah. It's absolutely another
food court.
Why? What is the problem with being Royal Oak?
I'm not sure what that means.
Nice
Maybe they mean there's not enough parking.
Ferndale's not exactly teeming with parking, by the way.
No.
Not really, but they have that one massive giant lot on the north side of 9 behind all those stores.
Oh, that's right.
Stores.
Yeah.
But you have to calculate how long you're going to be there and put a card in it.
Yeah,
and
just take the ticket.
Hate that though.
You know, I'm frequently inclined to just take the ticket myself.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I hate the parking at the movie theater at Imagine in Royal Oak.
Yeah, it's the worst.
They don't know how long you've been there. Who gets ticketed there?
I know.
Well,
I always think about that too.
There?
I don't know. I don't. Has anyone ever gotten a ticket at Imagine?
It's the honor system.
If you just park there and walk in, you know, you can pay the person when you buy the ticket too. Right. I didn't realize that. It's like, wow, why did I ever?
I spent 35 minutes working on a machine that didn't work.
That's a Brandon measurement of time, 35 minutes.
A machine that didn't work over to a machine that had like a queue of like 15 people. And then I finally got my ticket. It seriously took over a half an hour. And I get in there, and there's nobody. She's like, you could have just done that here. And it was cold. This was during the winter time.
I find whenever they have the area where you stick your money in the slot, that there's always like six confused people surrounding going,
yes.
It's ridiculous.
Which ones are? Did you check the number? I didn't check the number. Shit. We got to walk back to space and check the number. And then they come back. How do you put the money in? How much is it?
Does anybody check it? I really want to know that answer. Does anybody go and check the spots?
I don't think they do.
I don't think they do either.
No. But wouldn't you rather be in one of those where you pay the guy at the booth?
Yes. Right.
There and he opens the gate?
There should be a guy as you enter the parking lot taking your money. That's the only way to park.
Mark, I've seen meter maids, though.
They're just trying to eliminate so many jobs and make us...
I swear I have.
There at Royal Oak?
Oh, I smell the setup.
I'm telling you, I did see meter maids.
Lovely Rita, need a maid. Nothing can come between us. We didn't get
no cards to
your order. That's Domino.
Best version
one
of
take, that's Domino.
My favorite Beatles song.
By the way,
listen, Trudy, listen to the vocal.
In a cap, she looked much older. In a bag across the shoulder, made her look a little like a military man.
Military man, military man. May I ask discreetly? May I inquire discreetly?
Oh, I thought he's.
Fats is he's phoning this in. It's one take.
You know, Fats, I really think you made it your own.
I mean, you can really horns. Boogie to this. But no, I swear, I've seen meter maids out there before.
Hey, speaking of cool covers, we forgot.
At Imagine?
Actually, not at Imagine, but, in the downtown area, I imagine that they go to Imagine.
Yeah, but that's a privately owned structure.
Oh, you're right.
Imagine?
Yeah, that structure and that lot, right. I think, is owned by Imagine. I thought at least.
I always valet. But it's too much trouble. It's too confusing. There's too many puzzled people around the parking pay area.
Oh, you're talking about Imagine?
Yeah.
The theater?
Yeah, Imagine Theater. It's a great theater. What?
Is this Fats Domino doing Imagine?
Yeah.
Close.
Or is it someone playing along?
What do you mean? How far into the bass in this song? Oh, he's singing along.
No, his lips are barely moving.
Trying to hear him, Trudy. Nice doing a bass cover of Imagine.
There's no bass.
There's no bass.
Someone's playing bass.
Oh, here he goes.
Yeah, don't you remember the podcast earlier today?
There's one.
Oh, this guy. Again. Is he moving anything but his fingers?
No. Well, his lips, because he's singing along.
Has he been thumbs down yet?
Just 12 times out of 56,000 views.
56,000? There's barely bass pump guitar in this. Pump up that bass. Pump it up. Can we listen to his Q&A?
Yeah. Do you want any other songs?
First of all, can you believe anyone asked him a question? Are these family members?
I got to find it. He's got so many videos, I can't even find it.
Why do people... Never mind. It's just...
Oh, I wonder if he has Under Pressure. No,
what about My Generation for the bass solo?
I did not see My Generation on here.
John Entwistle is one of the great bass
players.
Hello,
everyone. Constantine here.
Oh, my God.
Making a rare talking video. This is my 1,325th video posting on YouTube.
What?
And only my fifth video where I am speaking.
Ooh.
And to me, I feel
five thumbs down.
I thought it was number six. Oh my God.
Properly to my subscribers to help me achieve the goal that I've just surpassed 20,000 YouTube subscribers and over 7.5 million channel views.
Oh, get over yourself. You, that's all you care about.
I never thought this could happen. A few years back, I've mentioned before, I was hoping to maybe get 100 subscribers, get some videos out there that people would find useful, entertaining, and has just continued to grow. So I truly appreciate everyone taking the time, watching the videos, giving me their feedback.
I'm obsessed with something he's doing while he's talking.
Where's the Q&A?
As much as I'd like to be able to
Does he have saliva at the corners of his mouth?
No, it's after a statement. There's a big...
just starting to really...
Yeah. Did you hear it?
Grow
exponentially. Takes a lot of breath, too, for him to expel anything.
It's hard for me to keep track and give thanks to everyone properly with a response. Not only the YouTube comments, people are emailing me direct, and the social media platforms between Twitter and Facebook.
What are you talking about?
He really knows how to carry an audience, doesn't he?
I'm skipping that video.
Can we have the Q&A?
Thank you.
I'm dying to hear if someone actually asks a question.
It was $135 American, shipped to Canada. Shipping, and that's expensive, but it's a nice... looking, playing bass. So
he's answering questions.
I've done a lot of videos lately playing that, so
I'm stunned that there's one person who wants to ask him a question.
Verbally answer those 10 questions and try to.
Oh, is he taking written questions?
I think he wrote them himself.
Fake.
He's an air hog.
And the second one was, did you play?
How many views of this are there?
22,000.
Oh, get out of here!
I started off in grade 9. On the tuba. The fat kid always gets to play the tuba. So
it was a lady that did something. Oh, she gave out a giant breath after everything she said, and Clark noticed it.
It was the
explosion.
An explosion lady. The funny thing was, I thought it was Mike exaggerating the way he sometimes did, but he nailed it.
Yeah.
She did. She exploded after every sentence.
Oh my God!
Knock it off.
He's not moving other than his hand.
He's the antithesis of Flea. He barely makes an expression.
Oh, it's great.
Well, he's so nonplussed. He knows the song so well.
I feel a powerful connection to the history of famous bass players. Like, what's his name from The Who? That guy from Led Zeppelin who wasn't Page, Plant, or Bottom? Those are the only two I know for sure.
How did you guys get on this earlier today?
Because he rules. He had a lot of...
Mark was just trying to be a dick about...
Jeff Pilson.
He had a lot of Foreigner bass covers.
Okay. I asked because I got...
I didn't get a chance to warn Pilson about him, though.
I got sucked down a bass guitar wormhole, actually not too long ago. And there's like this one dude who I watch a lot of his videos. Bass guitar.
Was he 800 pounds?
No. This guy is pretty popular. He's got like 6 million views per...
I'm embarrassed to say I was actually in a list of the 100 greatest bass lines. And I started listening to the songs because I was like, I remember the bass line in that song.
I wonder if Constantine approves of those songs.
This dude here will play like 12 string guitars and sometimes up to like 24 string guitars. I watch a lot of this shit. It's good. It's good.
That's pretty good.
Well, why is he in a band? What are his big hits?
I think he just does covers and shit. I don't know. He's cool.
Is that good? Why doesn't he have any hit records?
Pretty good.
What is this bass line to?
I think this is, I don't know.
His bass line to his penis, basically. It's him masturbating on the guitar.
But no, he does instructional videos and stuff, and I think because of the volume.
Instruction. I'll instruct this.
But when you got 6 million, I think you can make a lot of money off that.
Ooh. Wait, a lot of money off 6 million views?
Yeah, if every video you put out is getting 6 million, oh yeah.
How many videos does he have?
Oh, he's got thousands.
Well, how come all these musicians claim they for every million views they make $3 or something? Well,
he's not Flea either.
He's got 1.6 million subscribers.
Please, how I judge bass.
I like this bass guitar guy.
More than Constantine? You haven't even seen Constantine.
What about the big fat guy that plays all the instruments on all the Beatles songs?
Oh, that guy's good. That guy's hilarious. I don't remember his name.
His four screens where you see him playing every track and he's got them all lined up. Have you seen that guy, Trudy?
Yeah. Oh, no.
What?
Wait, the Hall & Oates. What about the Hall & Oates emergency line? The Hall & Oates 911 line. We haven't called that in a long time.
I bet you nothing's changed.
Oh, they've got to have some new songs in there right now.
That mean bass line that Constantine's knocking out.
Is that his real name?
Yeah.
Can't be Constantine.
Is he related to the guy in Idol? Is it the guy in Idol like 200 pounds later?
Because they have the same first name. He doesn't move.
He's
He's very captivating.
He hates making a face or anything because he hates exercise so much he can't even.
Yeah, he's only got X amount of energy.
So they've got 8 of the little dudes out of the cave now.
8, what is this, 4 a day?
Yeah.
They can only do 4? I mean, I'm asking it seriously. Is that all they can do?
You know, I don't understand. They keep saying that they have to reload the oxygen.
Yeah, why wouldn't you have just a million tanks?
I would think. Well,
standing by.
But one long tube.
Are they talking about the tanks or are they talking about the cave?
They're talking about the tanks of oxygen that they have to bring more.
If you go scuba diving and you use your tank, you come up and they give you another one.
Yeah.
So why would this, is Thailand?
You're in the cave.
Oh, I'm in the cave. Hello.
How's your oxygen level?
Does Thailand have a shortage of oxygen tanks? Ooh.
I don't know. But wouldn't somebody have flown shitload of them by now?
Yes, I would think so. Elon Musk invented something in the time this has been going on.
My God, Jackson would be in heaven if he was in this cave.
Oh, my God.
You guys beating off lately? I love you.
Ooh. But they did take the strongest ones first.
You can only take 4 at a time.
Ones.
I will be livid if that coach is not the last person in there.
I know.
The children are requesting lots of Jesus juice.
Did you know that coach has escaped death before?
How did he do that?
He was living in some shithole town, and they got this disease that killed everybody, including his family.
And not him?
He lived.
Wait, is he
Jesus?
You called
this town a shithole, Mom.
And those kids?
What? No, that's what it was said in the paper.
He's Jesus, and those are his 12 disciples.
It's a real town, shithole Thailand. It's right next to...
I'm proud to be a shitholer.
It's a real city, shithole Thailand. Look it up. It's right next to Fuck It Thailand. P-H-U-K. Some people pronounce it Phuket, but it's Fuck It.
Remember when that was happening and we're like, is that word?
I know.
Can we say Fuck It?
Donald Trump has turned the Oval Office into a shithole.
Shithole. The word shithole. Shithole in and of itself.
The city the guy's from got a disease and everyone died. It's a shithole.
Wow.
Not very PC, Mark.
I would do nothing with that guy.
Why did
in
that
the
guy? Why was he 3 miles deep into a cave? Doesn't it seem like a dumb idea?
Yeah.
I mean, before there's any rain or any shit like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a tourist attraction in a lot of different countries. When I was in Mexico,
three miles.
Hey, do you want to go into this cave? And we said no.
I went to a cave in Puerto Rico, but I didn't go 3 miles.
200 yards into a cave would be enough for me. I go, okay,
it's all the same.
Yeah. What are you going to see that's so unique?
Nothing.
3 miles.
The one in Mexico had like a restaurant in it, so they had a restaurant in the cave. Whoa. Everybody that went, they came back, and they're like, yeah, we shouldn't have went. It was hot, muggy. You couldn't breathe down there.
And you'd
food
eat,
sucked.
Eat
There's bad guano
everywhere.
I don't
want to eat food in a cave.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah.
There's a famous hotel room in a cave. Like you go in a cave and then you take an elevator and there's this beautiful hotel room when you get out like 100 yards lower. It opens up into this giant hotel room and you can pay like $1,000 a night.
There's no windows though. Why would you want to?
I know, that's what I said. I don't want to stay there.
There's no breeze.
I don't know where it is. If you let me search.
Well, Brandon's got it up right
there. I got a couple different cave hotels.
Can you hit breaking news quickly, Brandon? Something I need to drop in. Involves Kennedy.
Puerto Rico.
Kennedy just went, what? Who made?
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
One of our frequent contributors to the show has revealed his opinion regarding the Kennedy breakup.
Oh.
Kennedy's ex-boyfriend was subtly trying to set her up for a retap by saying she was perfect before the "we are done" text. That was so clear to me.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but remember the end? He left the door open. See you in school. See you in school this fall.
Well, I didn't understand that you're perfect and then we are done, like three texts later. It didn't make any sense. But I think he makes a good point that the saying she's perfect and then breaking up with her, it does suggest
there's this yin and yang.
Perfect.
And I think the retap setup is a strong possibility. I'm going with this person.
You're perfect. I just need to find myself.
Just advise her, you know. I don't think she even needs it. She doesn't sound like that's going to be...
If he finds himself, is there a retap possibility? Oh, see?
This guy. Just kidding. I still hate you.
Were you moved by being called perfect?
No, he was hammered.
Oh.
He's
drunk.
Right.
Yeah, he's pretty man.
So it wasn't, you're perfect. You're perfect.
I thought if we are done was in
we
one.
We are done, you're perfect.
If we are done was in one text, it would have been easier to digest than we are done. Three different texts. That was bogue.
Because what did you think after we and R came? We are.
Oh, yeah.
Greg.
We are.
We are together. We're cool. We are cool.
We are sexually compatible. We are
Period.
Sexual dynamite.
Period.
Player Dave.
Period.
God, anyone locate Player Dave?
I just wanted you to text him back this
Enigma.
Whole, you know.
Look, if we're going to have sex, that's all it is. Period.
Because he wouldn't know what that means.
Make period a separate text, Perim. Though.
Make all of them separate. Perim.
There's Kennedy's ex-boyfriend right here.
Oh, yeah. Audio representation of his how he feels.
Myself.
It's crazy with the Edge playing the guitar, walking down the street in a 10-gallon hat.
You know, these videos are weird.
And he had long hair, yeah.
God, I've seen, just was looking up old new wave songs. Some of those videos are so
Period.
Bad. Oh, my God, they're awful.
Do you ever listen to the U2 channel on SiriusXM? Now that I have it with the new car.
Yeah.
Do you listen to it?
Uh-huh.
Do you find the segues to be a little preachy? Have you
oh,
ever noticed
well, it's
that?
Bono.
Oh, I haven't listened to it.
Oh, my God. They're well, just like
it's
the
Bono thought.
Oh, the U2 yes. channel.
Yeah, there's a channel oh. just for U2.
What, how preachy segues? What do you mean?
Yeah.
What
boy.
Do they say?
He's the one organization person, right?
Yeah, yeah. And every song has this really neat meaning that he wants to
Message.
Tell you about. And...
Every time they play the
I
song?
I heard it like three times today.
Really?
Every
yeah.
time they play the same song.
Well, no, you know they sweep between songs or they do
right.
little breaks.
And they preach in the sweepers?
Well, they're short, but they just seem to be like I'm supposed to learn a lesson before each song.
Example.
I don't know if I'm explaining it correct.
But
sure
what was your
people.
Example?
Like, I don't
what
know.
Did
I,
you learn?
I zoned out.
I didn't learn
I'm like,
a
don't
thing.
Preach at me. And I went to the next station, which
I've
is Tom Petty.
That all the DJs on there, you know, all the recordings, especially like Mark McGrath or the Lithium ones, they're always just kind of stoned out of their minds. You can't really understand what they're saying in between songs. Mm-hmm. Mark McGrath is just ridiculous because he phones it in. He probably works 20 minutes and then they chop it into a 2-hour show.
Right.
And
why do they need him at all?
Draws. I don't
By the
know.
Way, Mark McGrath's got to be on Book of Cameo.
Oh.
He's got to be on Cameo.
Oh, you're right.
Because he seems to me to need money badly.
Yeah. He's got to be.
Why isn't... Is Sugar
if
Ray...
not, we should tell
Sugar
him.
Sugar Ray touring?
I don't think
oh,
so.
They always try to do yeah. those like 90s flashback tours. Like they tried to do the Cruise and getting a whole bunch of different bands like Better Than Ezra and Spin Doctors is together.
Spin Doctors? Cool.
Huh?
Seriously?
Yeah, but I think that Cruise fell through because nobody...
August 4th.
Is it... Oh, there is an upcoming one?
Yes.
With Sugar Ray?
Yes.
Really?
I'm telling you.
At Ribfest?
Featuring Sugar Ray.
I guarantee you can book a cameo with Sugar Ray.
Not our Ribfest.
He's got coins still. He pops up on TV every year in one way or another, whether it's on Celebrity Big Brother or it's another different reality
show. Celebrity Big Brother, that is somebody who's screaming for cash.
Yeah.
That's the only reason people go on that.
Yeah. Once August
again,
4th, man.
I didn't know it took so long for the bass to kick in on this song, too.
He's just
sitting here for 58 seconds.
He sits there like a pile of laundry, just...
Wait, who's the bass player? Not Larry Mullen. He's the
Adam
drummer,
Clayton.
Right? Adam Clayton, right. The blonde. Is U2 one of the last bands where you know every band member's name?
Yeah, kind of. I mean...
I don't know.
You know Edge and Bono.
You know Pearl
know
Jam.
Two, yeah, because they don't have real names.
You know Pearl Jam's band names.
It's a drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever the drummer is at the time.
Pearl Jam, I could get hung up, though.
No, you...
Mike McCready.
Yeah.
Eddie Vedder.
Jeff.
Wait. Jeff Ament.
Ament, yep.
And...
The drummer
Pick a drummer.
Matt, right now it's Matt.
Matt Cameron.
And you forgot... Stone Gossard.
Stone Gossard.
Did you see Dave Grohl on your old man show Sunday morning?
No, I haven't
CBS?
Gotten that far.
Dave Grohl?
It's uplifting.
Really?
It always is.
What's he talking about?
He's talking about, you know, why he formed the Foo Fighters, just his sort of his story, his arc.
Huh.
When he was, he quit school, by the way, and his mom's a school teacher.
Oh,
yeah, didn't we talk to him?
He's like, yeah, see ya.
Yeah, Mrs. G.
And she was like, well, you know what? You really, his logic
Hi,
was was actually sound because he was a good writer. He was writing songs and stuff. So I was like, go ahead. So he went off. And
well,
he,
that first
he
album.
Did that first thing himself. All the instruments himself.
But instead of putting Dave Grohl on it, that's why he did Foo Fighters.
Yeah, because he wanted it to sound like a band.
Instead of the guy from Nirvana.
Right. That was a, it was a good
he
story.
He seems like a really cool
guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Was Pat in the...
Smear.
Pat Giles?
Was Pat Smear like in there right when the Foo Fighters formed, and then he left and came back?
I think he was in Nirvana.
It was a long documentary that has it all. Okay. There was a lot of band members moving and coming and going and fitting.
Because I know he had just joined Nirvana.
Oh, Pat Smear?
Yeah. Officially.
I think he was in there pretty early, actually. I think he was pretty linked to Dave.
But yeah.
I hate that guy.
Whitey rules.
This guy's out of control.
There's nothing he won't do.
He has 1,025 different videos. But he's only made 5 recorded messages.
You can't find any of them.
He acts like people are really interested in these, in his stats.
He has one expression.
Yes.
That's it. So what? Then you can do the bass line of every song.
I know.
Big deal. We need to call him.
Did you guys hear? Is there anybody we want to call before we leave today? Jeff Pilsen was great.
David Trump with 2 P's.
David
was
Trump
great.
Was fantastic. We're 2 for 2 today. I don't know if we want to take a chance.
Do you ever want to call the human firecracker now that he's coming out of retirement?
Yeah, I do. I don't think I want to call him now though because I feel a little crunched for time. But if you're just taking a quick gander, I was going to mention the guy who posed as a Saudi prince.
Oh,
he's trying to invest
in a
Miami hotel.
Yeah.
The investment, by the way, was $440 million, and he was posing as this Saudi prince. Where was he going to get $440 million, by the way? Anyway, he was busted because they saw him eating pork.
Yeah. He had an Instagram picture that said something doing it Southern style, Southern barbecue.
But he also had briefcases full of cash on his Instagram page. It was like Saudi Prince 07 or something.
You know what his response should have been about the eating pork thing?
What?
About that Instagram picture is,
I don't want it, but I want to see someone eat it.
See? Would have worked, right?
He rolled up in a Ferrari with diplomatic license plates, and he bought them on eBay.
Oh, really? You can do that?
Apparently, you can buy diplomatic license plates, fake diplomatic license plates on eBay.
Ooh.
And he had 2 other cars that had fake diplomatic license plates, too.
What a dick.
And he had asked his assistant, quote unquote, to tell this investor that he needed them to buy the Prince a Cartier bracelet because the honor of the Sultan had been questioned in the previous meeting. If they wanted to keep the deal together, he would need a Cartier bracelet of some kind to make him feel better.
What adventure.
Were they even his cars? What kind of car was it?
It was a Ferrari.
Was it his?
I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. This guy had seemed to have scammed a lot of people out of shit.
He probably rented.
Some hotel he stayed in for 5 days.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything. around here, right?
He owed $10,000, and he skated on that. He was skating all over the place. He was actually from Columbia, adopted by a Michigan family as a kid.
Oh, does anybody know him?
I don't think so.
Wait, he's not even Arabic?
No. But with
I kind of like this guy now. What a nut.
With the headgear on, he's passable.
Did he hurt anybody? He didn't take anybody's money.
He did cost some people some dough.
Oh. Did he get the bracelet?
Yes, he did.
Wow. Those people didn't do their due diligence.
No, they didn't. The Tigers are having their first official LGBT Pride Pack Day.
Cool. Do you have to be gay to buy it, or lesbian, or bisexual?
I don't know. Let's see. The Pride Pack ticket package includes a T-shirt, which has a tiger logo on the front and a rainbow flag on the back, with the word "Celebrating Diversity of America's Favorite Pastime." Well, when are they going to be gay players? By the way,
well, there are
Billy Bean.
Probably already are.
I mean, when are they going to start talking
out?
About it? Yeah, there's a gay soccer player in the World Cup.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there was some dude I just read about him.
Do you mean they all are?
I'm sure there's pansexual.
No. I think the guy that came out is gay plays for an MLS team.
You have to come out as heterosexual in soccer. I had it reversed. Sorry about that. I'm so proud of myself.
What did you say before? I'm so lost by that now.
Okay.
What did you say right before that?
The Pride Pack ticket package. The Pride Pack ticket.
Oh, when are they going to be gay, openly gay in baseball?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that because, is it not cool in the Hispanic community and there's so many Hispanic players?
No, it's not cool in the Black community or the Hispanic community. Yeah. That's my understanding.
But
I still would think it would just be happening just because it's happening everywhere else.
Well, sports are pretty open and receptive to most.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you can help them win.
Yeah, if you're good, who cares? Plus, you'd get a whole bunch of gay fans.
Yeah, are people mad?
People would flock to the ballpark.
Are people mad that the Tigers are doing this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think actually some people were mad they hadn't done it yet. I think you're one of the last teams to do it.
Isn't it kind of smart to have every kind of night imaginable
to
sell as many tickets to any
I don't think the Tigers are really feeling like, I want to do something with LGBT.
No, it's all about selling tickets.
I think there's only two teams that haven't, the Tigers and the Yankees.
Cubs.
Oh,
no,
really?
No, the Yankees, they're right. You're right.
Why are the Yankees holding out?
Steinbrenner!
What? He's dead.
Susan Waldman doesn't.
Dead.
The Pride Pack ticket badge is a T-shirt with the rainbow flag and the Tigers logo.
Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh my goodness
gracious!
Of all the dramatic things.
Remember, she got mad at Drew.
She got so pissed at Drew for asking about that.
Drew called her Susie.
Why was she? Oh, that was bullshit.
She's not happy about me. Do not call.
Well, for being a hothead, she could have won me over, but instead she stays in loser land, in stupid land, as in why is she doing baseball game land?
Roger Clemens!
Wow. Been doing games forever, though.
I know. The amazing thing is that, is she still with Sterling last time?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
She's the better one of those two.
It's an awful broadcast. You know, it's such a bad
broadcast.
It's so bad. I think people like it. It's that bad. It's like homey bad. Like we're so used to these horrible people.
Yeah.
Leave it the way it is.
They do not. They have no banter between each other, too.
No, there's zero chemistry.
Oh, he's such a turd.
One dozen farm fresh eggs, Vidalia onions,
Vidalia.
Extra virgin olive oil.
Go away, Sterling.
Hand churned guacamole, pimento cheese. Cut russet potatoes, semi-sweet chocolate morsels,
frozen peas,
asparagus, canned cream corn.
Go away.
Beef tongue.
He's no Orson Welles.
Vinaigrette
in July.
Chicken liver.
Roger Clemens.
Peas grow there.
Almond nut butter. Pickled ginger.
What the fuck?
Coconut water.
Shut up.
Nutella.
Hot dog water.
Arm pizza.
August 22 is LGBT Pride Pack Day, and the Tigers All-Star is Jimenez.
Yeah,
Joe Jimenez?
Wow. Yeah.
What is that all about?
It's dumb.
Castellanos has 40-some, I think he's got 42 extra base hits.
They came down to Michael
Brantley.
How many
guys have had 80 extra base hits in Major League? Not that many.
They came down to Michael Brantley with the Indians, who already have 4 All-Stars, between Michael Brantley or Nick Castellanos, and they went with Brantley. And I think Castellanos has better numbers.
But the Tigers only get one representative.
Right.
So you want to take the best Tiger.
Yeah.
Of course.
And Jimenez got off to a great start. He had a real nice run there. But he's a second-year player, first of all. Or a third-year player.
The way baseball does it.
He hasn't been in the league. I don't even think he's been in the league a full season altogether.
The way baseball picks their all-stars is ludicrous.
Oh, yeah. One of the best, probably the second or third best pitcher in the entire game, Blake Snell, who's on my fantasy team, he got snubbed. He's on my fantasy team.
I was following
I'm so
until
glad.
He said
I'm
not,
so
until he's on
glad.
My fantasy team. I was following everything you said.
I didn't care until you said that.
He ranks
glad.
1, 2, and 3 in every category except for strikeouts, which
but
is
he
like
got,
11.
He got boned by the rule of every team needing one player. Because after the fan vote and the player vote,
he'll
then
get
they
in.
Had to fill those spots. Well, yeah, he'll get in because Verlander's pitching.
But can't you just take the best player on the team that only gets one guy?
How about you
if
take
you're
going to
only take one guy, take the best guy?
How about you just take the best players in the league and let them play?
Well, that's how I would do it. I guess they feel that. Or take a few more. If there's guys from 3 teams that aren't worthy, just take 3 extra roster guys.
80
who gives
guys
a fuck?
Make the team.
Are people
going to
go, what are 37 people doing on the roster? Oh my God, this game's a farce.
The game used to be really cool in the All-Star
people
game.
People went
kind of
out
a farce
of the, there's
now.
So many stars that don't
exactly.
play in it. It's a joke.
So like 40 people make each team now.
You remember when they ran out of pitchers?
I know, and declared it a tie. That is such an abortion.
Which led to the this time it matters.
Yes.
Where the winner got home field advantage.
Is that over with?
Baseball's so dumb.
No, they're still doing
that. Yeah,
it.
They ended that.
They didn't end that.
Didn't they end that home field advantage for the All-Star game?
Maybe they did.
You okay?
I'm not knowing. Hey, all right, get us out of here, Brandon, before I fall asleep.
Did you know Tab Hunter dated Anthony Perkins?
Tab Hunter and Anthony Perkins? I believe it.
Did you know Anthony Perkins' widow died in 9/11?
No. I did not know that.
I did not know that either. I learned that thanks to the death of Tab Hunter.
Tab Hunter dated Natalie Wood, too. Weird.
Really? Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
Tab Hunter was pansexual?
Yes. You know...
No, Tab Hunter wasn't, but Perkins was.
I thought his name was a verb because he was Tab. Tab is a euphemism for ass. Mm-hmm. But his real name is what?
You know what? I don't remember.
Tab Hunter. I have no idea.
Tabitha. No, Tab Hunter. Both those he just picked.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. There's no Tab. Other tabs. No, it's ridiculous. Do you know other tabs?
By the way, since last year, the team with the best record gets home field advantage. All-Star game has nothing to do with it.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it deviated there. I didn't mention Robin Wright today because they made such a to-do over the fact that she's finally speaking about Kevin Spacey and working with him on the Netflix show, The House of Cards.
I knew nothing.
But she said, I only worked with him. We never spoke outside of our scenes. So I have no feelings, no information, nothing.
He hit on crew members, didn't he?
8 crew members. But apparently none of them told her.
Or she didn't see it.
It's sort of like the Jim Jordan deal. He knew nothing. That story, by the way, is really... I don't know, isn't the timing of that a little... First of all, the story is weird as hell.
Well, it's only a story right now because of Jim Jordan trying to be leader.
Was it ever a story before?
Not nationally.
I mean, locally, was it?
I don't know.
I mean, was it with the other teams at Ohio State? Do people beat off around all those teams? They said he...
Just the football team.
He said he was trainer for 14 different teams. But, I mean, do the gay people swarm the other team's practices like did the wrestling team? Just asking.
Maybe they weren't gay beating, though. Maybe they just love the male form.
Possible. Think about that, and we'll see you tomorrow with Maz. See ya. Maz will want to touch on that.